My thingy's wiggling. The hangout thingy. Why am I looking at myself? Oh!
Oh, there you are. Oh!
God, I miss that show, The Sopranos. I friggin' miss that show so much.
Your thingy's wiggling.
Your microphone is not working, or hardware is muted. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all right.
I'm okay with that.
I wish my thingy wiggled.
Perhaps you'd like to get a room for you and the missus. Oh!
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night Killer. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, Barry gets warm. Joel gets ink. And Michael? Michael gets snow. All that and more on Late Night Killer! And now, digitally gathering at the Plush QRM Studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Joel, Barry, and Michael! Welcome to Late Night QRM show number 131 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast, well, actually, no, I'm in Jaffrey, so yeah. The southwest corner of New Hampshire, also in Studio J. This is Joel, and
that's it right now.
That is it right now.
I'm not sure. Actually, Barty did say he was going to be going on another business trip, so maybe that's where he is. And Michael, we got an email from, that's the Jim Beam talking.
I think you need another, sir.
Yeah, he will be joining us later.
During the show.
Thank you. And so we are enjoying some, well, you're enjoying...
Ezra Brooks, Cinnamon Bourbon.
Coke.
And Coca-Cola.
And I am enjoying Jim Beam and Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. And some nice cigars.
Oh, yeah. Although it's starting to look a little green.
Well, I smoke cigars like once every... I used to be like one a year. Mm-hmm. But since I've started hanging out with you...
That was over 11 years ago.
It's like 4 a year now. Well, enough that my wife bought me... what are they called?
The humidor.
Humidor. Because we don't buy the cheapo cigars. We go to Two Guys.
Two Guys Smoke Shop in Nashville, New Hampshire.
Good cigars.
And they are delicious. These are the Drew Estates.
Right.
And English style.
Yes.
So they're ever so slightly a hint of rum soaked in the wrapper.
And that's what makes all the difference.
It's a sweet, but not too sweet. It's not like some of the other I call candy cigars that you buy at the drugstore.
Right, right.
And this is good tobacco.
Yeah. And of course, after you smoked half a cigar, you get the good radio voice.
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? This
How
is
you doing, guys?
Yeah. Well.
So I missed last week because I was down in South Carolina and Florida. Mm-hmm. Actually, during showtime, I was down in Winter Park, Florida.
Oh, where the lousy weather is?
Which is just north of Orlando.
Oh.
I mean... You know, you can drive to downtown Orlando in 10 minutes. That's how close it is.
That is just north.
Yeah.
Just.
And, yes, the weather was horrible down there. It was terrible. It was in the low 80s during the day. A comfortable 69 at night.
Oh, the horror.
And, Yes, and then I went down on Wednesday, Wednesday before.
Right.
And my sister and brother-in-law have a winter home down in South Carolina, in Walterboro, South Carolina, which is just southwest of Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
So I flew into Charleston and spent a few couple days with them, and then we... Saturday morning, we got up at 0:30 and drove down to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we went down there, my cousins lived down there. My aunt lived down there. The reason why we went down is my aunt passed away in October. And they only had a small, they didn't have a funeral. I don't think they had anything because she was cremated.
Right.
And because her family... immediate family is kind of all over the world.
Right, right.
They decided they were going to wait and have a memorial service, and it was last Saturday, because mm-hmm. they got everybody in that came in. Right. They all came in, and I came down, and, you know, I think that's a better way to do it, because I got to say that usually when you go to a funeral, everybody's mourning.
And yes.
I know that's... you know, and you're mourning, but you're trying to celebrate the person's life, but you're still kind of in shock from
their passing.
Their passing.
Right.
Whereas when you do it, let's see, November, December, January, February, 4 months later,
mm-hmm.
it was truly a celebration of her life.
Right, right, right.
Because everybody had finished mourning.
Mm-hmm.
It was more, you know, it was a really good service, mm-hmm. and people were, I mean... you know, we were getting there, and we were seeing people we haven't seen in a long time, and everybody was like, you know, there was laughing and good talk and everything, and then we went and had a memorial service, and, you know, we just celebrated her life, and
the way you want to be remembered.
Yeah, I said, you know, and for my Aunt Shirley, this is the way she'd want it. She wouldn't want people... you know, mourning.
Right, feeling sad.
She
feeling down
sad. She was always a person, let's all get together. Let's, you know, have a good time.
Very upbeat.
And that's the way it was. And then we went to my...
What'd you do? I ate their bits. You ate their bits.
So then they said, we're sorry, but yes, you've been delayed, and so we... de-bussed,
yes.
I guess, if you want to say that.
Disembarked the bus.
Well, you deplane, so you must de-bus.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can go with that.
So we got into the airport, and they have, of course, they have upstairs, they have the main sitting area for the window, but they have seating down by the doors, too. So I said, well, hell, I'm not going upstairs again. I'll just...
wait down here.
Yeah, I'll sit down here. And... you know, and this was like 1 o'clock, and I said, I got 40 minutes, and I sat down, and all of a sudden, they were making an announcement that our plane was ready. It had come in, and so they said, go to door such and such and get on the bus. And it was like, now it's 1:10.
Right.
So I said, okay. So we all get on the bus. And this time it actually made it out to the plane. And
nice.
Actually got on the plane. What was interesting was it was the same crew that flew me from Manchester to D.C. different plane.
Right.
But, you know, so I'm going up the stairs into the plane. And the flight attendant's there. And I said, I know you. She starts cracking up. But I don't want to get into it. We've done the sizes thing. That was a podcast ago.
Actually, we did two podcasts.
Yeah,
with segments.
Yes, but yes, I experienced firsthand sizing issues in the plane. Of course, having to bend down. So that, you know...
you don't whack your noodle.
You don't whack your noodle on these regional planes. And, you know, I'm... And, of course, the first thing you do is everybody feels sorry for you. Oh, look! The poor Cretan.
Look at the mutant trying to fit in the little plane for people.
Yeah. They're basically saying, oh, man. I feel sorry for him. I'm glad I'm not him. And I
but
hope,
they're also thinking he doesn't sit next to me.
And I hope to God that he's not sitting next to me.
You can see the fear in their eyes. I get that all the time.
Well, on the flight down, I had an exit row, and luckily there was nobody sitting next to me.
All right. That's nice. You have a little room to stretch out.
No, not really.
I'll call it that. It's not really stretching out.
Let's put
out.
It this way. When I sit down, I pull up both armrests.
Yes.
Because they keep narrowing the seats.
Yes, yes.
And the only good thing with not having somebody next to me is my shoulder goes halfway into
the
seat
to the left,
and then the other shoulder's halfway out in the aisle. At least I don't have half my body out in the aisle if somebody's sitting next to me,
right,
which is what I usually have to do. So that made it a little more comfortable. If you can call these regional jets comfortable,
because mm-hmm.
They don't have any first class or anything.
No business class either.
Somewhat comfortable flight. Well, the only other thing I can add to that, which I forgot about when we were talking about size problems in these regional jets, is they always have, the seats kind of contoured up to a headrest.
Yeah, yeah. Which
and
is
for the average person, the headrest,
hits
you right in the middle of your head, mm-hmm. and it's comfortable and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that headrest on me hits me about 4 inches below the shoulder. So it leaves your back in this awkward position with no lumbar support because, you're being forced to kind of half...
Sit forward. Mm-hmm.
And you do that for an hour and a half, and it becomes very uncomfortable quickly, but there's nothing you can do about it. So,
Didn't bear it.
Yeah. So, but made it down there, and... it wasn't as uncomfortable as I thought it would be,
mm-hmm.
but it was still damn uncomfortable. it really is uncomfortable, and I have to say, and we're getting back into the sizes thing again, but I'm sorry. I just experienced it all over again last week and forgotten how much I used to love to fly. And I still love to fly if I'm flying business class or first class, which is usually only now international flying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I don't have any problems with that. These regional jets are killers. They really are. And so I made it down there and everything was good. But then the big news was this superstorm that was going to be coming in from the West Coast and hitting the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, and everybody was going to get a ton of snow. And it was supposed to hit Monday, Sunday night into Monday.
Right.
Well, I was scheduled to leave Monday.
I was thinking about you when I saw when I was watching the weather.
And I'm watching that, and Wednesday, Thursday time frame of the week before, they were saying, oh, good, New Hampshire's going to get, like, over a foot of snow.
Right.
And I wasn't so concerned about getting home. My main concern was, I'm not going to get home, and my wife's going to have to go out there and snowblow, and she's not going to use the John Deere, the snowblow. She's going to use the walk behind and, 12-plus inches of snow. I really felt, my back neighbor used to help.
Right, right.
I would say, look, if it snows, can you come in, because he's got a plow, and just plow it for me just for her, and he would do that. Well, he got a new job and they moved to Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
so I didn't even have my back neighbor anymore. So I said, but then the forecast changed and it was basically just going to hit DC and Philadelphia,
right?
Of course, the two places that
you have to go
from. I was scheduled to go from Charleston to DC,
right,
and DC to Manchester again. But they're only calling for a dusting up in New Hampshire. And I said, oh, wow, that's a relief.
If you can get into that airport and out of that airport.
Yeah, so then my concern was, oh, God. I can see what's going to happen. I'm going to get out of Charleston, and I'm going to fly to D.C., and I'm going to get stuck in D.C. overnight. And I said, if I had my way about this, I would rather get the damn thing canceled so I could stay at my sister's place, because that's much cheaper than having to go find a hotel or staying overnight in
the airport.
The airport uncomfortably, so I got my wish. because Sunday on the way home, I got the email that pops up from U.S. Airways and says, you can check in now if you want. It's 24 hours till you're checked.
Right.
And so I'm looking, and oh, that's another thing, internet service at my sister's house. I'm like, we're on I-95. I've got 4 bars and LTE. I'm checking in on my phone, on my iPhone.
Yeah.
So I'm on my iPhone and I'm checking in. I get checked in, no problem and everything. And a half hour later, I get an email from U.S. Airways. They canceled my flights. Both flights, the one to D.C. and one to Manchester, because of the impending. Now, the storm hadn't even hit there yet, but they pre-canceled all the flights into D.C.
Planning ahead.
Yes. I said, well, at least I got my wish.
Yes.
I'm just going to stay here an extra day.
Yeah.
So we get home back to South Carolina. And so I go in. And now my sister, Walterboro, downtown Walterboro has good service. My sister opted. She doesn't have a phone there because it's a winter place and they just use their cell phone. Mm-hmm. Well, they're on Verizon.
Right.
And they don't have the greatest signal, but they have a signal.
They have signal, right.
I'm on AT&T. AT&T was great every place but my sister's house. I had, like, if I'm lucky, 1 bar. And a lot of times it was E, Edge Network.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was before 3G. And 4G, yeah, there was E before, and I was on that. So, you know, and the way if I went to get internet connection, I had to press the buttons on the phone and then quickly put it down on the table and not touch it and, you know, wait 10 minutes and the website would come up. So that's what I was experiencing, internet connection. I've got to do some research for my sister because she needs to get some. Her problem is, she lives in Pennsylvania,
right,
and she's paying full time, full price for internet up there. She
right.
can't shut it down when they're down in South Carolina for
right.
2-3 months. And she wants to get some kind of service where, either it follows her
yep.
or she can put it on hold. She doesn't mind paying like a $5 fee. Because
right.
it's on hold or, to pause it. But she doesn't want to be paying full price in both places.
What about a dongle? The internet, put it in the side of your computer and then you can just use it straight through Verizon.
Well, yeah, if you had a good connection to Verizon, that's the problem. Plus, the caps. And they're looking at, they would like to be able to use Netflix down there. And
right.
they have
streaming.
Dish.
Right.
So I'm going to do some research to see if there's such a service. Because they could get internet through Dish
right.
with no problems there. But she doesn't want to pay it for a whole year.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
So, for them, it's not that big of a deal. For me, I was going through internet withdrawal. Every time we drove up to Charleston or into downtown Waterboro, I was quiet and I was busy catching up on everything. I got LTE.
Podcast.
I was downloading podcasts. Oh, look, I got LTE. Look, and I've got 35 podcasts to download.
Phone was a little busy working
yeah.
his butt off.
And, it got warm quite a few times. But news is that at my sister's house, if I was actually using it, the battery would last a grand total of about 45 minutes before I'd have to put it on, charge it again.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just, and the thing was hot because it was just trying to find the cell
desperately,
tower.
Desperately trying to find a
yeah.
signal.
So that was fun. But so then came the time that I had to rebook my canceled flight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started, we got home Wednesday afternoon, Sunday afternoon at my sister's house, and so I got on the phone.
Yep.
And they canceled all the East Coast flights out of D.C. and Philadelphia. What do you think the odds are of me getting through to an agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first time I was on hold for a half hour and my phone battery died, so I had to put it on the charger. And then I tried one more time, but then it was dinner time. And after a half hour of being on hold, I said, well, screw this.
Yeah.
We ate dinner and we were going to watch the Academy Awards because
right.
it was Sunday night. So I said, I'll try it after the Academy Awards because mm-hmm. that way it'll be like 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
Hopefully most of you know, everything will calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So we finished watching that, and then I get on my phone, and I put it on speakerphone, and I put it down on the table.
And you put your ear on top of the phone while it's flat on the table.
Well, it's speakerphone. It's speakerphone, so I can hear it. But I dial the number, and then I can't take my hands away from it because I don't want the damn thing to drop.
Right.
And I go through the menu. You know, there's like 15 menus you got to go through to get to a
human
person. And then I get put on hold. 50 minutes later. And I said, okay, I'm going on hold this time. I'm sticking it out until I get somebody.
The phone's plugged into the wall.
Yeah, it's plugged into the wall. It's there. I'm still worried my connection could drop because I got one dot. Under iOS 7, I got one dot.
Right.
And that's it. And I'm not touching the phone. And 50 minutes later, I get an agent. And I said, wow, you must be having a fun night. And she starts cracking up. I said, I just want to tell you, I'm on a cell phone. I'm at my sister's house, which is in bumfuck South Carolina. I said, I got one bar. And I said, it could disconnect. So that's why you're on speakerphone. I'm not touching the phone. Hopefully we'll get through this process because I don't want to wait another 50 minutes on hold if this connection drops. And she's cracking up. So we go through and I get my flights for Tuesday.
Right.
And but I was going to leave at 3:30 on Tuesday. And it made it all the way through. And, of course, I couldn't get exit row because they don't open up the exit rows until 24 hours before.
Right.
And you got to check in to do that.
Good luck trying to do that.
And I asked her for bulkhead, and it was the same thing. But I found out on the flight from, I was flying into Philly.
Yeah.
So on the flight from Philly to Manchester, she put me in a bulkhead. And nice. I'm very pleased that she did that because I didn't know. I was just in row 4 and I didn't know what it was.
Right.
But she put me in a bulkhead.
That's nice.
Yeah. So I'm very happy about that. The other one, I was in row 2. Of course, this is a flight with no first class.
Right, it's all
the same.
Right.
So South Carolina, we're in Charleston, and they dropped me off. And, of course, this was after we spent the day down in Buford and Hilton Head. I hadn't been in Hilton Head in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in shorts and sandals, and everything was so nice. Oh, this was Monday. Shorts and sandals, the extra day.
Right.
And it was nice, and it was beautiful. And I was like, now this is a way to spend a snow day.
Yeah. I bet.
So, we had a good day on the extra day, and then Tuesday morning we went to another beach that she wanted to show me, and then we went up to the airport and they dropped me off. And it was actually kind of cold on that day because the Arctic vortex came down and was actually hitting the south a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was actually 39 degrees when I went
to the airport. That's pretty darn chilly for down there.
Yeah. So I get in there, no problems, get on the airplane, I'm in the second row, and I'm in the aisle seat, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked, you know, before I asked, I said, is there any chance I can get
an emergency exit row?
Emergency exit or a bulkhead. I said, sorry, it's a full flight and everything's taken. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to suffer. Luckily, it's only an hour and a half to Philly.
Right.
But I'm going to suffer, and oh, God, and that means I'm going to be sitting next to somebody.
So, yes.
You know, I'm going to be hanging out into the aisle, and my legs are going to be out there and everything else. So I get in there, and I get in my seat, and because I always upgrade so I can get on the plane early.
Yep.
And so I'm sitting there, but I'm not buckling the seatbelt yet because I know somebody's going to need the
leg. Oh, yeah.
And so I'm fretting because it's like, oh, please let it be a small person. Please let it be a small person. Yeah, because all I need is somebody my size. Or
what if I came in on the plane?
Yeah, you came in and you're going to sit next to me. And it's like, that's total hell. You know, we're going to be good friends, yes, whether we like it or not.
Yes, indeed. Yes, not to mention the plane's going to list to that side of the plane that we're sitting on.
So I'm waiting and people are coming on and the flight attendant, you know, I'm literally holding my seatbelts in either hand. And the flight attendant, she said, no, not yet. Because, you know, and people are getting on, and nobody's coming to sit next to me, you know. And I'm like, what's going on? And she goes, She goes, well, it's a full flight. So right. And so she talks to the ground person and said, and they said, look, we got one seat that's still open.
Right.
And so they go, the ground person goes back and running up, and then she comes back. She says, oh, no, one person changed their flight. So there's one seat. You're going to be shy one seat.
How many seats are in that flight? 80?
Something like that. And guess where that seat was?
Next to you.
Next to me. I said, there is a God.
I have room.
Oh, God. Yeah. So that was, and believe it or not, even though it was a seat up front and there's no first class or anything.
Right.
But I don't know whether all the seats are the same, but I actually had, I could fit my legs in behind the seat in front of me. So there, I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised that right. Because usually I can't even get my legs in.
Right, exactly.
You're on a normal seat.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised. And the fact that I was the only person that didn't have a seat. And she goes, well, aren't you lucky? I said, well, that's all right, because nobody likes to sit next to me anyway in a plane. And the people around me were cracking up a little. Because they were all going, thank God I'm not next to him.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine how uncomfortable that situation
would be. Yeah, so I did the usual thing, you know, both armrests go up.
Yep.
And so I can stretch out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know I can, any plane, I know how to get the armrest up. And a lot of people don't realize that those armrests can go up. You can pull the armrest up. Any plane, I can get the armrest up. I know exactly where the button is.
Was it on the other the inside or it's across the front?
It's usually in the back, right at the joint.
Yeah, at the joint.
Either,
right,
it's either on the arm or down on the post that the arm's on.
Right.
It's usually there. Sometimes it's on the side. But I can find it. I can find it in less than a minute and have those things popped up. So that was a good flight into Philadelphia, and I had a 3-hour layover in Philadelphia. That's when I chatted with you.
Yes, yes.
And at dinner time, I was eating my Wendy's dinner,
mm-hmm.
and I got a chance to walk around a little bit and shop and go into the stores and mm-hmm. stuff. And then the flight on the way, or from Philly to Manchester. That's where I found out. I was surprised. That's where she booked me the bulkhead, which I was so glad. Now, I was sitting next to somebody there, but and this particular plane, it did have a first class section, and mm-hmm. I actually did try, you know, for $55, I could upgrade to first class.
Yeah.
And a lot of people go, $55? But I'm like, if you're my size,
room counts.
Yeah, $55 isn't much.
Yep.
But it was booked. So I couldn't get it. So I was in the bulk seat. And the way this works is they had two in one in first class. And so their aisle was a little bit off. And then when you get back to our section where we have two and two seats, the aisle kind of shifted over.
Right.
Well, the bulkhead didn't really have a wall in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was sitting on the aisle seat, which basically my feet went right up their aisle. So I could actually literally stretch my legs out into first class.
Nice.
So, again, I lucked out this time. I really lucked out.
And part of you was in first class.
Part of me was in first class, yes.
From the ankle down.
Yes, yes. And they actually fed us, they gave us complimentary first class peanuts because we were in the bulkhead row.
Whoa.
Because they had some left over. And they said, here, you want some
first
nuts?
First class.
Yeah,
peanuts.
So pretty much, you know. We were like the business class.
No kidding. You weren't all back in a bus peanuts.
We were first class, but we were definitely a business class there in the bulkhead seats. So, good ride into Manchester. And, yeah, I went from, well, it was 39 degrees there. But the day before, I was in 80-degree weather. And when I landed, we were in 10-degree weather.
So you're just about. I was going to say, now did you hit the usual turbulence? Because a lot of times when you fly into Manchester, there's wicked friggin' turbulence.
No, it was actually we flew below. They said there was going to be turbulence if we went up to the normal altitude that they fly.
Yeah.
They gave them a lower altitude to avoid the turbulence, and we really didn't have any.
No, nice. Because I know every time I've flown into Manchester, it's okay, folks, we may be experiencing a... ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain.
Yeah.
We are currently at 34,000 feet and then a north-northwesterly approach towards Manchester. We're going ready to experience a little bit of turbulence, so the ride might get a little bit bumpy, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is fine, and you should will be landing shortly in about 40 minutes. And then all of a sudden, whoom! The freaking plane just drops 10 feet from the turbulence.
Yeah. We've gone from 34,000 feet to 15,000 feet.
Exactly. You're like, a little turbulence.
No, it was a smooth ride. Everything went well. I got to say, yay to U.S. Air, and I lucked out. I lucked out.
I like flying U.S. Air.
I do. I really don't like the regional jets, because if you're a big person,
it sucks.
Regional jets suck, but I lucked out this time, so I got to say, it wasn't that bad. Yeah.
I was just, on the same note of flying, I was just, what the hell movie was I watching? Silence of the Lambs. Hmm. And they have a scene where they're showing the red tail fin.
Uh-huh.
With those three magic letters in it. You remember what's Teeny Weeny Airline?
Oh, really?
TWA.
Yeah.
Trans World. And Airlines. And I thought, wow. And I said that to, you know, my wife and I were watching. I said, oh, well, Teeny Weeny Airlines. And she went, what? I said, TWA. She went, yeah. I said, it's a funny little joke, Teeny Weeny Airlines. I said, she goes, is that it? I said, they're way defunct and out of business.
Yeah. I remember another joke that was the flight attendant would come up to you and say, would you like some TWA coffee or TWA tea?
Exactly. Yes, yes. I think I'll have some of that TWA tea, please. Thank you.
So, yeah. No, it was good. And, yeah. So, on a pain threshold from 0 to 10, yeah. Usually when I fly the regionals, it's around 8 or 9. I got to say, this was around the 4 and 5.
That's not bad.
So that's not bad.
Honestly.
The pain level was 4 or 5.
And depending upon, you know, really pricing, because for a regional flight, it's typically, you know, there is no classes, so it's typically cheaper to get
That's another thing. I mean,
you were talking about that.
I paid $239, I think, for round trip tickets from Manchester down to
Charleston. So $120 down, Charleston. $120
Yeah. And yeah, you think that's it, but then I had I had two carry ons because I always have my CPAP machine, and I also carry a small thing with all my medications and electronics because there's no way I'm checking that stuff.
Right.
So, and that's okay. You're allowed to have that. I got another thing to talk about too, which was something I experienced for the first time. But I always have my suitcase. And of course, being a large person, it's filled with nothing but clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I battle the 50 pounds or less.
Oh.
Because, you know, I put four shirts and three pairs of pants in there, and I'm close to 50 pounds.
Right.
It's just the way it is, folks. Yeah, sorry.
Do you use soft-sided luggage or hard-sided?
It's soft-sided luggage.
Okay.
So I had a check. You know, I had to check my suitcase. Mm-hmm. $25 for that. Of course, it would be an additional $75 if I was over 50 pounds.
Right, right.
But I wasn't, so I was good. It was $25, so you add that on. Mm-hmm. I paid to get a... paid $22 to get a seat. What do they call it? I forget what it's called. It's a regular seat, but it allows you to get in when first class. Usually, I'm zone one to get on the plane,
right,
which is very important if you have carry on, because you know how the overhead
fills up
real quick.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I paid the $22 to get on first.
All right, so you're at 280. Yeah. Call it 285 plus.
Yeah.
20. What was it? $20 for zone one.
Right. Right. $22 for zone one.
$22.
And $25. Now, the $22 for zone one is for that leg. I got to pay another $22
for the other leg.
So,
you're another $50.
Yeah. So it adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. You were definitely, you're four bills.
Yeah.
Well, almost.
Yeah. And that same thing coming home. Yeah. So yeah, that stuff adds up.
Right.
So they just and of course the only thing they give you now is a soda. If you want anything to eat, you got to pay for that, and yeah, they're not cheap. Yeah,
$12 for a meal.
Yeah, whatever. Well, it wasn't even a meal; it was just snacks,
the tuna sandwich.
Yeah, they didn't even offer sandwiches. It was just like for candy bars and nuts and things like that. So
$12 for a Kit Kat.
I don't think it was that much, but it was close.
I'm embellishing.
Yeah, it was like,
for the story.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, but the other thing that, I have a U.S. Airways card because, I have to relight.
Oh, you're going to relight?
Yeah.
I had to put mine out.
After I get done jabbering here. I haven't flown in about a year, which is unusual for me.
Right.
And since then, they've done the TSA pre-check.
Okay.
And apparently, because I have the U.S. Airway card and because I selected something in my profile that says, oh, sure, you can send all my information to TSA ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
I got my boarding passes, and they said I was TSA pre-check. Well, I got to the airport, and there was a line for a regular TSA, and then there was the pre-check line. And the regular line was filled with people. Uh-huh. The pre-check line had nobody in it. Looking down, looking up, I go into the pre-check.
Yep.
Don't have to go through the funky machine.
Oh, the full body
X-ray? They just
send
you through a magnetometer. Don't have to take my shoes off.
Really?
I didn't have a computer, but you don't have to take your computer out of the bag. You know, you just put the stuff on there, mm-hmm. empty your pockets, of course,
right.
because you're going through a magnetometer.
Right.
And that's it. If you're a normal person. I'm not a normal person. I am a diabetic with an insulin pump.
Yes.
And I carry a CPAP machine.
Yes.
Well, CPAP machines have to be pulled out and inspected. I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually telling the TSA people what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was down in South Carolina. I go to Manchester, they knew what to do. And they told me, okay, well, you got a CPAP machine. Well, we'll have to pull that out and we have to swab it. You know, because yeah. God forbid, you know, somebody might blow up a plane with a CPAP machine. I'm not sure why.
You can swab. Feel free to swab it. All you're going to find is spit in it.
Yeah. So you know, I had to pull that out and then through. And I went through the metal detector, but I have an insulin pump. And I knew this. If you have an insulin pump, you have to pull it out, touch it, and then they swab your hands and put that through a check. So it's an extra little step,
right.
But I gotta say I didn't get the full body frisk like I normally do because if I have to go through the whatever machine
full
body X-ray machine, yep. I always opt out because I don't know what that's gonna do to my insulin pump.
Good point.
And so I opt out, and I also opt out because I don't want to go through something that they say, oh, it's perfectly safe. Yeah, I'm sorry, but if you fly a lot. Perfectly safe in little doses makes it not safe after you've flown quite a bit. So I always opt out, and which means, you know, spread.
Yeah.
And that's not so bad, because mm-hmm. like I said, toward the end, I was like, you know, assuming the position, and as yeah. they were going down, patting me, I was going, freaking them out a little bit.
So you want to look down if it's a woman TSA agent, you go, what are you doing after your shift?
But the main concern about that is your other stuff is going through the X-ray machine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm over there told not to move. My stuff is there. They're not paying attention to it. Anybody could just pick up your computer and take
walk
off
by.
With it.
Right.
Or your electronics or valuable stuff. And so I'm trying to keep an eye on that. I mean, that's what usually happens.
Right.
At one point, I had to start complaining. I said, can you get my stuff? Because you're not letting me go over there. I said, and you guys aren't watching it.
Right.
And I said, I got expensive stuff there. And you know, oh, hold on, sir. Hold on. We're watching. I said, really? What's my stuff? Which stuff is mine? And, you know, is that your stuff? Yes, that's mine. And that's mine. And that's mine.
Right.
You know? And so they finally pulled it over. But I mean, it was like 10 minutes sitting there.
Just sitting there. Nobody's watching.
Nobody's
it.
Watching it. Anybody could walk away with it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, of course, it doesn't help to yell at those guys because, you know.
Yeah, flags go up.
They're very sensitive.
Flags will go up.
Yeah, but so that's the normal thing. But here, all I had to do is get my finger swabbed mm-hmm. and my CPAP machine swabbed, and I was off and running. I was like, wow, this is the fastest I've gotten through TSA in forever. I like this TSA pre-check. This is great. And then, of course, coming home in Charleston, uh-huh. I got TSA pre-check,
yeah.
And I basically had to tell the TSA agents what they had to do. because they weren't sure. And he's like, well, your preacher. I said, well, if you're going to make me go through that machine, I'm going to opt out. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then you're going to come over here and get patted down. I said, but I've got TSA pre-check.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa, but you're... I said, well, normally pre-check doesn't go through that machine. So I'm just telling you, if you're going to make me go through the machine, I'm going to opt out. Mm-hmm. But I'm pre-check, which means I should just go through the magnetometer.
Yep.
And be okay. And they thought about it for a minute. They said, oh, yeah, you're right. And so they sent me through there. And then I said, now, this is a CPAP machine. I put on the thing. Oh, that's all right. So I said, no, I have to take it out and you have to swab it. I had to tell them that they had to take it out and swab it. And they said, oh, I don't think we have to. I said, trust me.
You do.
You have to. I've traveled enough. You have to do this. So I take it out, and they swab it, and I come through, and they were going to let me go. I said, I got an insulin pump.
Yep.
I said, okay. I said, I got to touch it. You got to swab my hands. I'm telling them what they have to do. I should have just gone through, but I don't know. It's honest me that says, you know, yeah. I don't want to get halfway down the aisle and then just,
oh, that man.
Come back. So I'm telling them their job.
Right. Maybe it was a test.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But I just figured I might as well just go through what I normally go through. That's what I'm used to. And then just, you know, and the fact that, you know, they were actually happy, you know. It's like, oh, look, every time I fly, this is what happens, you know. I don't want to get you guys in trouble.
Right, exactly. Remember, the boss might be looking.
And so I look at it and you treat people nice because, you know, it's just like you in your job. If people treat you nice, you tend to be nice back.
Right.
So I try to do that with anybody else in their job.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
And they'll treat you nice.
You treat those how you want to be treated.
Yeah. So, you know, and I got through with no incident. So that was my flying experience for last week. I do love TSA PreCheck, right. If I haven't said that enough.
You know what? I just thought of a topic.
You didn't? Well, don't put it up there.
Put it up where?
Your cursor is up on Late Night QRM number 131.
I'm trying to get it to come down here after the ingress. Okay. But my cursor won't move.
There you go.
I just keep getting beach balls. Oh, there it goes.
Okay.
If I hit return.
Yeah.
What the? This is acting a little silly.
Well, wait, as you're figuring that out, I'll go on to my other topic, because last week I heard you were talking about third-party electrical providers.
Yes.
And to be careful.
I just wiped out your last topic.
No!
How do I? Here's undo. Here's undo.
Control Z usually does it.
Undo.
Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah, I do too. I remember what it. There it is.
There you go. Yeah.
So I'll come down here.
Okay. So I got to tell you that I was aware of that, and I'm in a contract where the price is set throughout the length of the contract.
Oh, good.
Now,
good.
At the end of the contract,
it could
go up, and actually, it did go up a little bit this time. Actually, it went up quite a bit, and when I went on their webpage, I found that they were offering new people a lower price, and I actually called them when I renewed with them this year.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, what's the deal? You bumped me up to 0.078. Whatever. Right. I said, you're offering new people 0.072. Why am I not getting the same deal? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a loyal customer.
Yeah.
You know? So they gave it to me at the 0.072 or something.
Right.
You know, so I got it at that price again. But that's good for my... I have a year contract with mm-hmm. them. And that's good for the year. After the year, if you're not paying attention,
yeah.
they can bump that price up.
Okay.
And Michael just came on.
Hey.
There he is.
Michael.
How are you?
Hey, Joel. Barry. I'm doing good, actually.
Good.
Just had a great visit with my mom. You know.
Awesome.
Sorry, guys, but priorities do take place.
Oh, here. That's all right.
Oh, no.
I explained in the beginning of the show that you'd be joining us midstream.
Okay, well, it's more towards late stream, but I'm here.
Probably
let me,
not.
Let me move a lamp so you can... Let me move a lamp so you can actually see me.
Okay.
Right back.
Whoops, excuse me.
So, as far as that's concerned, I'm there, I, you know, I read the fine print and everything, and there was nothing that says that they could raise the rate. They have variable rates. And you get a much lower rate, but they have the right to raise it throughout the thing. But I don't go for those. I opted for a fixed rate. So I'm good for a year. I don't have to worry.
That's good. I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Let me turn them. Hey, look, if you're talking to this thing, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like magic.
It is, too. Well, I'm so used to that stupid boom headset that I have.
Uh-oh. What the hell happened?
I don't know. What happened?
I am not seeing...
A recording?
A recording.
Uh-oh.
What? Who? What?
Crap. I don't know whether we're recording or not.
You know what?
I haven't touched anything.
Please stand by.
Okay, and...
And we're back.
We're back. Somewhere in storytelling, and luckily it wasn't... I'm not sure what we missed, but we had a 10-minute gap in the recording. I use Audition, Adobe Audition, so I'm not blaming Adobe Audition, but I am running it on Windows 8.1. I am blaming Windows 8.1 because I don't know what happened, but it for 10 minutes it stopped recording, and then it came back, and I wasn't touching anything. So I will be editing this together.
What was that noise?
That was my phone, which I forgot to... put on. Oh, no, my phone
is on vibrate.
Oh, I know what it is.
Something was bouncing
on
the screen.
Yeah, I have mail up on the cart machine.
Oh, okay.
Which is my MacBook Pro. And you're hearing mail come in. I usually quit that so you don't hear the ding, ding whenever I get mail come in, which I get 100-plus mails a day because I'm on too many mailing lists.
You get 100-plus mails a day. That's not even work-related.
No, but luckily I have three... The way I work it is I have three Gmail accounts. One is family and friends, which I only give it out to family and friends.
Right.
One is for billing purposes, where I get all my e-bills and I pay from and whatnot. And then one is things that I use when I sign up for things, and that's the one that gets all the email. The other ones, I get email when it comes in, from family and friends, not too many. Billing only when I'm getting a bill, and then I've got my other account, the everything, and I get 100 emails a day, just probably on that one.
Holy smokes!
And I'll go through and I'll weed that out. Now, I'm not complaining because I usually sign up for that stuff, or I go in and I do something on a site and they start sending me email. I'm not saying that what do they call it? It's not spam. It's bacon, I think they call it.
Bacon?
They call it bacon because it's not spam, but I went on a site and I filled something out and they asked for my email address as part of the thing, and then they just started sending me. They should just start sending me email, and so I've got to go through and get off lists again. Every so often, I go through and get off lists. Sometimes you can't get off lists. That pisses me off.
Well, you can. Can you send it all? Have it all sent to your spam folder?
I could. I could probably set up a filter, or I could report them as spam, which they don't particularly like. But if you're sending me email that I didn't ask for,
right,
you're spam,
right,
or bacon.
Well, what if you like breakfast sausage?
I don't know. So, So that's why sometimes. Luckily, I have a little alarm clock that I put my charger. It's got in the thing, and that thing automatically kind of puts me in nighttime mode.
Right.
So I don't hear emails and stuff coming through.
Oh, you don't get the dings and the bells.
Yeah, the dings and bells. Well, I'll tell you, when I was at my sister's house and I didn't have that, and I just sat, I put my phone on vibrate, and I put it on the table next to me in some charger, but the emails start coming in, and all I hear is, because, the thing's vibrating on the table, and it's like,
put it in D&D.
I do have Do Not Disturb, and I do have that set throughout the night, but I turn it off at, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Actually, I turned it off at 6 o'clock in the morning. I pushed it to 7 o'clock.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, all the emails start coming. At 7 o'clock, and yeah.
Yeah, actually, who was it? It was my buddy Brian who told me about the Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, yeah, I get a little leery about that. I guess it's okay for email and stuff like that. I guess you can
you
set
still
up
get calls.
Okay, because I want to get calls.
Allow calls from, and I have it here, favorites.
Yeah, yeah. I have that, so I get the little moon at night, and it pretty much cuts out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And being in my alarm clock charger, I don't hear anything, but I'm not using that. Yeah, at a certain time, whatever time that goes off. Oh, look at that, a 5S.
I heard about it. Wait, where's my screen? He's saying.
Wow, I'm jealous.
It's like the monolith from 2001.
Yeah, that's cool.
Dun, 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 dun,
so how do you like the 5S?
So far, I love it.
Have you got the finger thing going?
Yep, I got the finger thing going. I got it trained for both thumbs and both index fingers, so whatever I happen to be grabbing, to answer it with, it recognizes right away.
The what thing?
The finger thing.
Oh, the fingerprint recognition?
Yeah.
Yes.
5S has that.
It allows up to five finger recognitions.
No kidding.
Huh. So you don't have to punch in the code, if you set up your lock.
So you can just grab it, put your thumb on it, it'll read it and knows it's you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's giving the finger to his 4S.
That's cool.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, so, man, that's so nice.
It just unlocked doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's smart. That's CAT smart.
Well, and that was necessary, unfortunately, because as you probably heard in my episodes, the 4 was dying.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the 4 was apparently causing issues on Boss Jack, and I didn't realize it because it was dropping half of the episodes and stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that on the podcast that shall not be named.
Yes.
But
I've re-encoded with the 5S, and those are coming back through, so it must have recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get the 4 fixed. I just, I'll be going back through an area that actually has a Apple repair station.
Okay. But you got a 5S now, so it goes to somebody else, right?
Yes, I haven't decided exactly what I'm going to do yet because my oldest son is going to need a phone.
Right.
And my wife already qualifies. She's had the same flip phone, which says something right there, since 2008, 2009, something like that. So actually, I qualify between my son and my wife, I qualify for 2 more iPhones.
Nice.
So, all right.
We might actually just keep this because this is a 32 gig. And I was thinking, well, we'll just reassign this. But actually, we could get 2 new iPhones or pay the extra $99 for the 5C, and keep this as a general household 32 gig Wi-Fi unit.
Yeah,
and get 2 more iPhones.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
I qualify. I can get 2 new iPhones now, but I'm waiting for the 6. 6 is due out in September.
I couldn't wait any longer.
Yeah. Yeah, you
with the power. Yeah, my power button is actually shorted on the 4. Now it's still running, which I'm impressed with, but my battery life is like 2 or 3 hours with the power button shorted out.
Again, I use my 4 as an iPod, I guess you want to call it, because ever since iOS 7, man, that thing is sucky slow. I mean, very unresponsive, and I'm hoping the 7.1, whenever they release it, will help fix that, because it's annoying as hell. Because you sit there, and sometimes I'm sitting there tapping the button 3-4 times, being that person, it's not working.
That's on your 4?
Instead of giving it, yeah.
This is the 4S. My 4S runs.
4S seems to be fine.
It goes good.
Yeah, 4S, because my wife has a 4S, and she has no problems. It's the 4.
My wife has the 4, though.
Yeah.
Hers?
Really?
It is a little slower than mine. I've done a little. I noticed.
I get unresponsiveness.
Really?
Especially with,
Well, but is your home button going bad, though?
No, this is actually touching the screen. I get no response. Oh, okay. Tapping the screen. And the home button, but tapping the screen is pretty bad, you know. Especially if I'm running downcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that is dog slow on 4. Dog slow.
Which is the main reason why we're keeping our 4s, but.
So.
Gotta run downcast. Yep.
Yeah. So, and they just did an upgrade on downcast.
Yes,
they're now
did.
Accepting Google Cast. You can listen to Google Cast on downcast. Which,
oh really?
I haven't figured that out because
Google
I just downloaded. Yeah, that's if like we're using
iTunes.
No, we're using
Hangouts.
and you can do a live thing now on Hangouts, and I guess they call it Google Cast.
Okay.
And so we could actually be doing this live. Unfortunately, it's also with video. And
none of us have a face for TV.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. But that's true. But
three middle-aged men.
Pretty much. But if you look at everybody else's podcast, none of those have faces for TV. So it doesn't matter. But yeah. So apparently you can do Google Casts on those now. Listen, which I haven't played with because I downloaded. I guess the upgrade downloaded today for me. So, yeah, but, and speaking, I can actually go into another topic I have. You know, I was grandfathered into the AT&T Limited Unlimited plan, and they call it the Unlimited plan, but I call it the Limited Unlimited plan because
definite, maybe.
It's unlimited, but if you use too much,
yeah,
then they start slowing you down. They slow your speed down, so that's why I call it.
You can drink all your watt, but we're you want, yeah. But we're going to step on the hose.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So I've never experienced it because they had an offer that came out, and you've probably seen the commercials on TV with the black family all wearing the nerd glasses, and they have 4 phones for $160.
Mm-hmm.
And you get 10 gig of you get 10 gig of data,
yep.
A month, and unlimited voice and unlimited texting. Okay, and that's a good deal. I don't have 4 phones though,
right?
But they sent me a text, and they have another deal for $130. You get 2 phones at and 10 gig, and I looked at it and I said, you know. When I get a new phone, they're probably going to push me off the unlimited anyway.
Yeah.
Because they really don't want people on unlimited.
On your limited unlimited.
Right. So I did the research, and I went back. They actually have a thing. If you go to the AT&T site, you can look at your data usage, and they'll print a graph out for however time period you want.
Right.
And I went back several months, and we rarely go over 2 gig, and actually Anne-Marie uses more than I do.
No.
Yeah, because she likes to stream radio when she's at work. And, she's in these stores. And,
you got me thinking, you got me wondering.
So I said, well, 10 gig. Yeah, it's shared.
That's
10 gig
right,
between
10
the
shared.
Two phones.
That's more than enough.
And I said, that's way more than enough. I'm never, although I got to tell you, when I was down in South Carolina and I was downloading podcasts, I went and looked at that. And I went to 8 gigs.
Really?
Just downloading podcasts. Usually I have downcast set to Wi-Fi only because up here I'm on Wi-Fi all the time, but down there I didn't have Wi-Fi. So, I wanted to keep up with my podcasts. And
I'm trying to find out my usage.
It doesn't take long.
No. If you got my AT&T, that might tell you.
Well, your iPhone will tell you how much it's downloaded,
too. Yeah. So anyway, but the other thing that caught my attention to that, too, other than they're probably going to boot me off of unlimited anyway, this is a pretty good deal. And when you looked at it, it was like you're paying $100 for the 10 gigs.
Uh-huh.
And then and that was the lowest of the high data rate, data bandwidth.
Uh-huh.
And if you went lower than that, you paid $25 per phone. So, but if you went 10 gig and above, you
right.
only paid $15 per phone and unlimited voice and unlimited text. And, so I looked at that and I said, that's a pretty good deal. And so, but, and the other thing was they said, if you can use hotspot, you know, if your phone could become a hotspot, which is the new word instead of tethering, you can set your phone up as a hotspot. It was free. Before they used
That's good.
Before they used to charge $20 a month.
Right.
Allow you to use a hotspot feature that your phone has built into it.
Exactly.
So, but I wasn't. I read it and I said, "This might be too good to be true." So I got on to the little chat thing on AT&T and I talked to a very nice guy. And I said, "Now let me get this right." It was almost like a commercial. "Now let me get this right. If I go move over to this plan, I can turn on the hotspot on my iPhone 5, and it's not going to cost me any extra." And he goes, "Yes, absolutely." And
is your name Chad?
It wasn't Chad.
But Chad's come back.
So I said, "Huh?" And because I'm looking at the plan I have now. It's unlimited data. I've got 400 minutes of voice, and I pay for I don't have unlimited texting, but I pay for my phone $15 a month for like 500 texts.
Right.
And Anne Marie doesn't have anything. I mean, she pays for every text she sends.
Right.
Which could cost me some money.
Exactly. Yeah. So you try not to, just call around and text her.
So my average bill for this plan with the limited unlimited was costing me about $152 a month.
Okay.
Okay. This plan was $130. Add in the taxes and everything, it's up around $140, $139. Okay.
And but more.
But I could also turn on hotspot, which I have a Nexus 7 that's Wi-Fi only. And I said, "Ooh." And the fact that they're probably going to bump me off of it anyway when I buy my next iPhone this year.
All right.
I said, "Might as well take the deal now." So, and then the guy reminded me. He says, "Well, what company do you work for? Do they have a discount deal with us?" And I said, I don't know. I think they do."
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him my email address at work. He says, "Okay, you do. And I'm going to send you an email to that address, and you can go ahead and sign up for the discount." And I think I get a 20% discount.
Nice.
For I think that's just on the phones. I don't know if it's on the phones or the data. It's not on both. But still.
20% is
20%. If it's on the phone, it's going to pay for all the taxes and everything that they add on.
Exactly.
So that means I'll be paying $130 a month.
For more features.
Which I'm paying $152 a month.
Right, so you're going to save $22 a month and get more features.
Right. And get 10 gigs. I'll have a cap of which my average is 2 gig and less a month. So I'm not even going to get anywhere near.
Right.
Unless I'm on travel for an extended period. And then if you go over the 10 gig, they slap on another 10 gig and they probably, hopefully they don't charge me $100. I don't know. I didn't check to see how much they charge you. But the guy figured, he goes, "Well, you only use this, so you could really go for a 2 gig plan."
Yeah, but you might triple that.
And he figured it out. He's on chat, and he says, "Oh." He goes, "Well, the 2 gig plan with two phones will cost you $120 a month. The 10 gig plan cost me $130 a month." Right. I said, "Let's go with the 10 gig plan." that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So I signed up for it, and so I can no longer. Unlimited is gone for good.
No, I never thought the day would come.
It's gone for good. I'm on the 10 gig plan, but what this allowed me to do, and I was doing it the last couple of days.
He's rubbing his hands like
I have been deprived of Ingress for so long now, and I'm back. I am back and I'm ingressing again.
What level are you at, Barry?
I'm still at a level 3, but I'm about halfway to level 4. And I found out that in my absence that Peterborough, which I owned at one time, Peterborough has gone to the Enlightened.
So as a
good founding member of the resistance, I do have to go up there and start attacking portals. But first, I have to go around and hack so I can get some weapons to do it.
All right.
I've been, and then a nice couple have taken over most of my Jaffrey portals.
What?
But they're part of the resistance, so that's good.
Oh, yeah.
So I went around and I hacked all them, and I noticed some of theirs were getting low, so I recharged their portals for them, and I added a couple shields to get some points. and there was a couple blank ones, new ones, new portals. We got new portals. So I went and grabbed the two new portals and you know, put resonators and shields on them, and I actually linked them into the field, or one of them into the field. So, yeah, we're good. Oh, I was back. You know, I was doing it again. The Ingress thing. So it felt good, and it worked really well. I mean, because you know, I have it set up. I'm going to try Bluetooth. Wi-Fi is a little slow when you tether Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, you know, the Nexus 7 looks at it and says, "Oh, it's not close enough. My phone's not close enough," and it takes a long time. And all of a sudden, it says, "Oh, it's connected
right
to my phone." But I can also tether via
Bluetooth.
But so I'm going to look into that because, you know, the two things are going to be within inches of each other.
Yes.
If I'm out and about, but it worked really well. So I'm impressed. And of course, now I'm using the real Ingress instead of the
iOS version.
The iOS version. And it's so much better.
Yeah, it's definitely better.
It is so much better. So I'm really having fun with the Ingress. And as a matter of fact, I had to go to the dump today, and I took Sammy with me. And then on the way back, we were hacking portals and recharging them in Jaffrey. And then I actually went down. I went down the rails to trails. And there's a trail down there called Children's Woods. And I snapped a picture of the sign and everything, and I submitted it for a portal. And then I also submitted one for the actual Rails to Trails.
Yeah.
The Dupree Memorial.
Uh-huh.
And snapped a picture there and submitted that.
Sorry.
So we'll see if those get accepted. Because they're kind of neat because you can't drive to them in a car. You actually have to get out of the car and walk to them. So that's... I think it'd be a more challenging portal to get to. So, but yes, Ingress.
Yes. I'm bringing up the Intel map for your area now.
And
now, have you gone to ingress.com/intel?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, do you know there's an app? You can go to the website, and I used to go to the website all the time, but do you know there's a Android app that's basically an app for that, which you can bring up the Intel map, right? And you don't have to go to the web page. You just bring up the Intel map, and the app interfaces with it. Very nice, and you can slide it around with your finger and stuff.
So, okay.
Yeah, you'll see. I think I own the little Presbyterian church, and...
I'm bringing it up now.
Yeah. I think I also grabbed the Catholic church. Oh, no, the Catholic church was taken, I think. I don't know. Was it? Was it taken? I grabbed a couple. No, I grabbed the Catholic church, too. St. Patrick's. And I actually, yesterday on the way home, I did go into Peterborough and attacked one portal. But I didn't have enough weapons to take it completely out. So I've got to hack a lot of places, and I got to get a lot of level 3 stuff. Because the level 2s and 1s don't do it when you're attacking a level 3 or level 4 portal. That's got shields and everything else on it.
Yeah, you got to be right on that resonator. And
yeah. So, but it's fun. I'm back. I'm loving it. It is a fun game.
Cool.
You got me looking at Nexus 7s right now just to check out this game.
Well, and there's still the Walmart equivalent. I forget what those things were called, but you could start out, you know, $100 to $150 bucks in those things.
I'm looking at used ones right now for $129.99.
Yeah.
Nexus 7, 16 gig.
Yep. I think I have the 32 gig one.
Yeah. I mean, but the nice thing is with an Android, you can pop in an SD card into those, can't you?
Not the Nexus 7s.
No, you can't?
No, they don't have them.
Well, the new ones, though, aren't they?
But
I know the Nexus clone that you can get at Walmart has an SD card slot.
right. Well,
yeah, you can get one of those, but an actual Nexus 7 does not have an SD slot.
not even the new ones, huh?
No. No, because I have a new one.
I see a lot of resistance in Jaffrey right now. I don't see any green at all.
No, Peterborough has been taken over by...
Oh, okay.
Well,
you probably followed my escapades of phone service on my phone this week. And the one I got a real good deal there, but the one thing I did not get was tethering yet. I still have a problem. If you have an iPad, you can activate tethering just like that. But on the phone, they still want you to call.
Really?
Yes. Well, actually, I do plan on calling them because I'm getting tired of trying to do every ingress attack by Wi-Fi. I'm minus 92 dB Wi-Fi signal. I can almost hook, if I stand it on my hood in my Jeep, hold it up in the air.
But
act like Planet of the Apes and go. Rawr, 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 rawr.
This is actually going to help me because there's a couple of porters in downtown Jaffrey. Where I absolutely have, I have like maybe one dot, and all I get is I can have a phone call, but data is like impossible, and there's two portals down there.
Right.
But when I was going through with my Nexus 7 with the Wi-Fi on, I noticed that there's a couple people that have two open Wi-Fi networks that I can hit from down there.
Jump on their nice.
So I can jump on their Wi-Fi and hit those portals where before I couldn't do anything with those portals.
So I either go on Pasty's backbone or I've learned every guest network and Wi-Fi near a portal on the key one. And I describe my encounter with my nemesis. And he developed a new respect for me when he found out I was doing this on a Wi-Fi Nexus. I'm like, how are you doing this?
That was great. That was a good podcast that shall not be named.
I looked outside my Jeep window, and there's a guy holding a device, walking in circles.
Outside of my Jeep.
That's funny. And then you kind of like during the Civil War... Yeah, you went to that waterhole, and the north and the south, the gray and the blue met, chatted, and then walked away and continued the battle.
Exactly.
That is too funny.
Oh,
it was funny. It was like 10 below. It was blowing 40 miles an hour. He was literally standing next to the Jeep. We didn't notice each other until we realized, every time I destroy, every time I add another resonator, something's going away. Something's up here. And we kind of both look up at each other at the same time, like, oh!
That's funny.
We've been trading quips back and forth for months.
Ah, on the comms?
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm going to have to talk to the other resistance folks that came into Jaffrey. They just started. They're brand new. Matter of fact, I said, let me go try this. And I got on Ingress for the first time. And literally, they did their first portals on March 1st.
Wow.
So they are brand new. So I'll have to chat with them. Because I haven't been active since last, I don't know, when did the iPhone Ingress hack die. It was when iOS 7.
It was it was around the second trip to Mayo for me. So
it was August.
It was middle. Yeah, yes. August. I think it'd be it.
Yeah. So I haven't been able to do an Ingress.
Yes, that was August. That was the boat herder episode.
Yes,
actually.
Yes, yes. That's right.
Boat whisperer. Excuse me. Yeah. No, it was boat herder. Whatever it was. You know what I'm talking about.
So I haven't done Ingress since then, and I started, and it's like, this game's addictive. I'm sorry, but it's stupid as hell. If you really, you can't think about what you're really doing,
right?
Because, what the hell am I doing? You have to go along with the game. You got to play the game. And somebody had a GIF that they posted on Google+, which I thought was good. It was Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. And one of them, and they modified this, but one of them had green paint and one of them had blue paint on a paintbrush. And they're running around a pole. The GIF was them running around a pole and Bugs was painting it green and Daffy was painting it blue right behind them. And it just kept going around the pole, around the pole. And I said, yeah, that's Ingress in a nutshell. If you really think about it, but the other thing you got to worry about, and that's why I like to go out during daylight hours instead of nighttime, you know, because I came home the other night, it was dark, and I'm in a leather jacket, a black leather jacket, and, you know, I stayed in my car because I can say, oh, yeah, what's this big guy in a black leather jacket out there holding this thing, and he's wandering around? But it is fun. I gotta admit, I have a blast doing it. And I gotta bring up my last topic, which I need to convince you guys this would be a cool thing to do. I am totally addicted now to Clash of Clans.
Hey, we're doing a show. Can I call you back?
It is a game. It's one of those dumb games. It's an app. It's a free app. Of course, you can do inside buying and buy your way into getting better stuff, but you don't need to buy stuff. You can just... I call it a sit-and-wait game.
Right.
Because basically, all the things you do have timers on it, so... And you're just waiting for the timers to go off. I mean, if you think about, you know, the gist of the program... get out of the game mode. It's like, oh, you want to build this? A gold mine? Okay, yeah. You put it down, and it takes 15 minutes for it to be built.
Right.
So it's got a timer for 15 minutes, and then oh, you want to upgrade that thing? Okay, well, it's 30 minutes to upgrade it, and you know, of course, if you get up to a level 5 one, it could take 18 hours, you know. So you click it, and it costs you so much elixir and that. But then, and you get troops, and they take, you know, depending on the troop, it takes so much time to train them.
Right.
And then you get, you amass this squadron.
Squadron, yeah, exactly. Know?
And then you go attack somebody else's thing, and you try to steal their gold and elixir is basically what you do. And they have computer-generated ones that you do initially. And I was doing that, and everybody was leaving me alone. Well, now, I don't know, I hit a certain level or what, but now I'm starting to be attacked from out and other people. And they keep track of who attacked you, and you can replay the attack. And then they have a revenge button, so you can go and attack them. So it's kind of neat. But it's, you know, again, it's not a bang-bang first-person shooter game. It's more of a strategy game.
Right.
Where you build this stuff up and everything. And then when you go and attack, the only thing you can do is you go look at their fortress or whatever that they have.
Right.
And you'll see where their openings are, where their weaknesses are. And then you basically have your different troops down on the bottom pictures, and you select the troop type.
Right.
And then you can sit there and say, okay, start here, you know, and you tap on the glass in the different places where you want them to go.
Right.
And then from there, that's all you can do. From there on, they go in and they do the battle. But it's fun because it's one of those games where, you know, I'll spend, you know, 15 minutes, setting things up, building things, advancing things, go do an attack, and then I'm done for a few hours, and then I'll come back, right, and I'll do the same thing over again. So it's addictive like that. But of course, Clash of Clans, the key word there is clans. I'm not in a clan right now. Now there's lots of clans you can join out there, but I would like to start Clan QRM.
There you go.
And I'd like you guys to join with me. So,
well, I know my kids are into it.
Okay, and they're welcome to join Clan QRM. Now, I haven't created it yet because, frankly, somebody wiped my gold out. So, I have to get some more gold.
I have no idea what you're talking about, yeah, but okay.
Download Clash of Clans. It's kind of easy to figure it out. They walk you through a scenario in the beginning, and then from there you figure things out as you go along. And they have apps that are instructions and suggestions.
I was going to say, I'd want to read those just so I know I'm playing it right.
Yeah. And there's other apps like that. And everything's free. Again, if you want to spend money, who wants to spend money on stupid imaginary games? I don't know. I'm not buying anything extra. I'll go the free route, and if it takes me freaking 18 months to get to level 32, it's going to take me 18 months to get to level 32. It's actually more fun to do it that way.
Right, you're building it up.
Yeah, instead of buying it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to convince you guys. I want to start Clan QRM. So go ahead. Download it. Get addicted. It's a fun game. I don't know how long it's been out, but apparently they've got
Clash of Clans.
They got clans all over the world.
And that Clash of Clans too.
There's a Clash of Clans too?
Yes, there is.
Really? I don't know. I have Clash of Clans. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Why don't you?
I just found it. I don't know. I told you the title.
All right.
I'll look at it.
Yeah. Well, get Clash of Clans. That's the one I have. Clash of
I'm downloading it now.
Clash of Clans.
All right. So let me look for Clash of Cash.
Clash of Cash.
Let's see here. Cassius Clay 1. Yes. Okay.
Pile of dough. Clashing. CLA.
I like the graphics.
Wait a minute. There's Clash of Clans, Clash of Clans 2, Clash of Clans Free. Which one did you do?
I got Clash of Clans. Clash of Clans Free.
Clash of
Clans. Oh, wait a minute. Did I just grab the wrong one?
Oh, my God.
I think.
I thought it was free.
Oh, no, now he's not sure, Michael.
Oh, let me look. What the hell?
No, it said free, didn't it?
Yeah, it's free.
Well, there's one that says Clash of Clans, Clash of Clans 2, Clash of Clans Free. So there's 1, 2, 3 to choose from. No, you know it's not 2, so that narrows
it. I didn't accidentally buy one, did I? Crap.
I don't think mine was free, and I didn't see... Well, then...
No, I didn't see a price on it.
Let's see.
He's still holding an unlit cigar for the last hour.
I know. I'm back. Oh, you're not going to hear the music. There we go. Oh, look, I got tons of elixir. I'm collecting my elixir. Let me go. Oh, and I've got gold from my gold mine. Okay, I put them in my gold reserves. And I've got shields, so I'm being protected. And I've got to train some more soldiers. And
you know, there's one. There's an app here called Video Guide for Clash of Clans.
Really?
It's a free app.
Yeah, I don't know what version I have. Let me see if it tells me here. Settings. Music on, sound effects on, language. Yep, know about.
Daily news for Clash of Clans? Free app. Daily news.
I don't know. It's a fun game. It's addictive.
I'll take your word for it. Yeah. I'm downloading it now.
Okay. And when I get enough gold, I'll start a clan and let you guys know. I'm gonna start an invite only clan because you can have
and
that way we can. And I don't know how clans play or how it works because I've been a solo guy.
All right.
From now, supposedly you can help each other out, and I don't know how that works if you're not playing at the same time or whether you're online at the same time. But these games tend to work so that you don't have to be online at the same time to do it, but I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Okay.
A bunch of games in here.
Well, Private Uper reporting, sir.
All right. Let's see.
Who wrote the Clash of Clans? Is it by Supercell?
Yes.
Okay.
It should be free.
Yeah. I will download it, sir. downloading now.
Yes, very good. It's asking you for your password. And I like it because you can link up. If you got multiple devices, you can link them up. So I've got it on my Nexus 7. I usually play it on the Nexus 7 because of the bigger screen. But, you know, I can put it on my iPad, on my Nexus 7, and on my iPhone.
Can I put it on my MacBook?
No, it's not on the MacBook. I don't think it's on the MacBook. I think it's only a device.
So now I have to go out and buy an iPad? Damn.
Or a Nexus 7.
Well, if...
Then you can play Ingress.
Yes, I could. The only thing is, they're Wi-Fi only, and I don't have tethering with this phone.
You're AT&T?
This is Verizon.
Or Verizon?
Yeah.
They don't have tethering?
Oh, it's available, but I...
Well, not, it's not free.
It's not free. This is... Where did I get this from?
Work.
Right. Do you think you're going to pay for that?
Yes.
No. And I can't turn it on.
Really? Sure? Did you try?
It's blocked.
That's a shame.
You'd have to call them and say, can you activate it for this device?
And how much do they charge you extra? You know, keep watching that because, like I said, AT&T used to charge you $20 to turn tethering on.
Yeah.
And now it's free.
I'm sorry, it's not called tethering anymore. You said
it's called... No, it's called Hotspot.
Hotspot?
Mobile Hotspot.
Yeah, it's called Personal Hotspot.
Or Personal Hotspot, yeah.
I like tethering. It sounds more intelligent.
Yeah. That's what you're really doing.
Yeah, it is your
doing. And you can, I haven't tried the Bluetooth. Because, like I said, on the iPhone and Nexus 7 were taking forever to tether on Wi-Fi. So I'm going to try Bluetooth. See what
I think that's probably because it tries a proprietary Apple connection protocol first. Because when I connect, one of my clients has iPad Air fully blown out with the hotspot on it.
Uh-huh.
And when I connect up to it, I get a totally different connect icon than I do when I connect up to a Wi-Fi hotspot. So it knows it's connecting to an iPad, and it has a whole different protocol, it looks like.
Huh.
So it tries that first.
Okay.
Okay.
Typical Apple thing to do.
You must go Apple first.
And it's instantaneous, and it's very fast.
Right. So now that I'm done all my topics and extra topics,
and I've extra topics,
and I've been basically chatting the most here because
you've had
a big week. I had a big week.
You had the most going on of the two of us.
Joel had something interesting go on this week.
I took the trash out. And I broke a shear pin.
And you did something else.
Let's see. I bought some blue jeans. Oh, yeah. That's right. I got a tattoo.
You got ink.
Yes. I got
you
another.
Got new ink.
I got new ink. Another. The first of many.
The first of many.
Well, of the one,
you got,
two, three. This makes four.
You have, wait a minute. I see one. Oh.
This is actually two.
Two. Yeah, you're right. That's two.
And then this one.
That's three. And then this one, that's four.
Right.
That's a pretty cool. I was going to say, the artist is quite an artist.
My artist and friend is Evan De Palma at About Time Tattoo. And he absolutely just blew me away. I mean, aside from being a genuinely nice guy, he really is a hell of a tattoo artist. Hell of an artist, period, and a hell of a tattoo artist. So,
there you go.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it shows, too, because he's, you know, it's funny. If you were to watch a lot of television programs or some television programs, and you see people, they just, oh, I'm going to walk in and go get a tattoo and sit down for 6 hours. Well, maybe in some shops, but with Evan, let's see, we've been working on the design of this one since I originally talked to him back in December.
Wow.
And
so there's been some planning.
There's been very much so some planning. He's redrawn it three times for different effects, different this and that. And he's been absolutely awesome about it. And let's see here. Then I made an appointment with him once we find on the third drawing. We said, absolutely, that's it. So he goes and he opens up his... And this is another reason why he's an awesome artist and just generally an incredibly intelligent, smart person because he took out his... iPad mini. And he opens up his calendar and he said, how's 3.5 weeks away from today?
Wow. Like
every day that you're at work, 5 days a week, your time is, his time is just booked for people getting work for 3.5 weeks in advance.
That guy's making money.
So, you know, the shop owner, Kevin, awesome guy, incredible work as well. And the shop is just great. It's right in Nashua on DW Highway. I mean, it's a commercial form, but I mean, it's a nice place to go and get some beautiful work done. Mm-hmm. You know, tattoos aren't for everybody. Some people go, oh, you got tattoos. Well, and you're entitled to your opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't share it. Not by a long shot. And there are others who are what I call the on-the-fencers who are saying, you know, I might if it was the right thing or if I'm at the right phase or stage in my life. And then there are others who are like myself where I have a poster hanging on one of the overhead doors of the storage bin in my cubicle at work, which says simply this: I don't have a tattoo addiction. I have a tattoo collection. Because I just love them to death. But the idea of just walking in off the street, you no way. I mean, they'll talk to you, they'll make an appointment with you, but there's no way you're going to sit down, plunk, and they're that busy.
Wow.
So, so the next one is April 19th.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's...
I hadn't stood up from the chair 35 seconds, and I had already made the next appointment.
Wow. Jeez. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't go through the pain. I'm not a tattoo person.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They're not for everybody.
But, you know, I do appreciate the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's, that was one. And so that's something that was new.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else is new? I did take the trash out.
You said that already.
I did say that already. And something has happened that with that last stupid snowstorm with all the ice and jazz that we had come down.
Yeah.
I was a little bit lax. Came down the snow, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this until tomorrow. And I did. Got out the very next day. I drove home, just parked the car in the snow. I'm like, I don't care. I just pushed through it. Went out that next day and fired up my Honda HS55 track style 5-horsepower snow blower from 1986.
That's incredible.
And fired into the snow, and it cleared every bit of it, doesn't stall. But I broke a shear pin. It's the first one I've broken in 3 years.
Say it isn't so.
Yes, indeed. Now, granted, it was a quarter 20 bolt. But no, no, actually, that's
not like, really a shear pin.
Actually, that one was the last original shear pin that I had. Was that one, the one on the left-hand side of or the right side, if you're looking in the mouth of the snowblower?
Well, actually, I was doing some research on the Book of Knowledge, and they were saying shear pins, or shear bolts, are misnamed because they're nothing but regular bolts. But you know, every bolt, if you look at the top of it, has a number.
Yeah.
So you can buy a bolt.
It's designed to break.
Yes. So as long as you get the same number bolt on the bolt as your shear bolt has, it's the same.
It is a shear pin.
Right. And I bet you, and I haven't checked this out, but I bet you if you went to a hardware store and you bought those, they'd probably be cheaper.
Well, they are.
As normal bolts.
Right.
Than if you bought a shear bolt.
You can, and I have done this.
Oh, no. Barry, I buy them by the bag. I didn't know you really. I've been doing that for years.
I was buying shear bolts, and they're like $5 a pop.
Just buy a shouldered bolt. That's what I get, a shouldered boat or a shouldered
bolt. Look, I'm paying an extra $4.50 for the name shear put right
now. Yes, you are.
No. Go down to the hardware store. Just make sure you get the right hardness. That's the biggest issue.
Well, that's what I discovered after I read it. I said, so, if I've got a shear bolt that has a number 5 on the top of it, and I paid $5 for it, and I go to the hardware store and get a number 5 bolt that costs 35 cents, they're the same.
That's one hell of a tough shear pin. It's got a 5 on it. That's a serious shear bolt.
Well, whatever number they have on it.
Usually it might be a 2.
Yeah, I've maybe seen. It was.
Because I upgraded to 4s on that snowblower.
I've heard that's dangerous to do.
You can smoke. Yeah, you can smoke the drive gear.
You have faith in yours.
You can destroy the drive gear if you hit a chunk of something that doesn't move and jam it and burn it out. However, the reason being I'm running that high is because I know where my in the driveway and where I snowblow.
Yeah,
I know there's no what I call rogue hunks of wood, rogue pieces of something else. I mean, it's just the snow and the ice.
Yeah.
And I don't try and take massive big bites. I'll usually use the whole mouth in my snowblower. When I make that first pass, you're making a whole bite.
Yeah.
But the next pass down, I make half.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned to do that. And I've also learned to slow down. Right. I also figured out when you're stuffing the plow too much. Yeah. The plow, the cat, whatever.
The mouth of the snowblower.
Yeah, snowblower.
Yeah.
When it's starting to come up and over the top, you're going too
fast.
You're moving
too fast. It can't throw it out the chute fast enough.
Right. So
I mean, realistically, but I got the shits, pardon my French, of having, I used the original shear bolts. And, I mean, you hit a snowball. Chink. Oh, really? And then you're sitting there in the snow with the handles back, trying to tap, 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 trying to line up the shaft and spin the goo-ba-da-ba-da. And I just got, I was fed up.
Yeah.
And I think I broke one. One year, when I, the first year I had that snowblower, I was going through shear pin after shear pin after shear pin. It was a different address. And I remember I broke one during a pretty sizable snowstorm, and I didn't have any more shear bolts. The hardware store was closed. Out of desperation, I grabbed one of those cheap Chinese bolts.
Mm-hmm.
That I told you about. I threw it in there, put a nut and another a lock washer and another nut.
Yeah,
and it was way longer.
Yeah,
so it was floating around. So I'm like, okay, this means it'll break even easier.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've got to finish the driveway so I can get out and go to work tomorrow. And that lasted through that storm.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when it occurred to me. Wait a minute, if I just use cheap grade bolts, they're a little bit tougher than these ones that I've been buying.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not breaking, for no good reason, but they'll still break if I hit something solid.
Yeah.
And I've never looked back.
Well, and I say I paid $5 for a shear bolt, to be honest. One of my shear bolts this year cost me $200.
Yeah.
I knew which one that was.
Yeah. I remember that podcast.
Yeah. When I had to have the guy come out and show my wife
where it was.
And actually, he had to figure it. Well, we knew where it was. It's just, as he says, I'm gonna develop a tool just to get to the shear bolt. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think I could do it myself this time, but,
Well, now that you know where to look.
Yeah, well, and I know what to do.
Right. I can honestly say that aside from what else is going on here, it's been kind of a slow week. I've been working my butt off, but haven't we all?
Yeah.
And,
well, you did something today, right?
Oh, yes, but that would be in our special segment of Bottom Gear. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bottom Gear. I am one of your hosts, Joel, here to tell you about a little story about the little Wilson that could.
I got to just break in here and say, while we were playing the Bottom Gear theme, I wish that this was a video podcast between the two of you guys.
I do that little dance for Bottom Gear every time we play it.
Were you watching?
I don't have him up on the screen.
Oh. The two of you, I'm sitting here, I can see you, and I'm watching Michael on the video.
So I didn't even know he was doing it. It's just it's part of
he
us.
He was doing a bottom gear dance that makes yours look sick.
I mean, honestly, it's here again, that show being my favorite still to this day. But back to bottom gear. Yes. So Wilson in his age, mm-hmm. and the fact that I do chalk this up truly to the fact that this winter has been exceptionally friggin' tough on everybody.
It has.
And frost heaves, I swear to God, are like ears of corn. Talking like Captain Kirk in the garden, you sprinkle snow and they grow. Every time I drive down the same street I drove down yesterday, three frost heaves have grown overnight, which just beats the living crap out of your vehicle. A couple times I thought I left the transmission behind me. And my car rides, Wilson, pretty much drives like driving a couch.
Like those commercials?
Wilson floats.
Uh-oh. What is that? Oh, that's his power supply.
Oh, you know, I can't even find the icon to bring him up on the thing with the screen.
I guess he's saying he has to plug in his computer.
Okay.
He must have been on battery power.
That being the case, I went ahead and frost heaves, winter, not to mention, according to my beautiful bride, who says, you know, you are hard on vehicles.
Really?
And I said, I don't ask the machine to do anything that it's not designed to do.
Yeah, I beg to differ.
What the hell does that mean? The machine is designed for me to be able to sit in it, and in some cases that's barely, but it happens.
Okay, there you go. Step
step one, step I broke one. The seat. Step two, I asked the machine to move forward when it's either in first gear or drive, mm-hmm. and I'd like it to do so in a fashion that is vigorous.
Yes, very vigorous. Zero to 60 in how many seconds?
Well, that's not entirely true. I mean, I have a grocery getter. I got a grandma grocery getter for my grocery getter.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I tell you what, that car can boot and scoot down the highway. But anyway.
All I know is when you pull into my driveway, you're leaving rubber on the road.
And it's gravel.
And this time of year, it's snow covered, and it's got black marks on it.
Well, how do I want to say this? If the driveway wasn't a sheet of ice from the Olympics, you wouldn't need that running start up the horseshoe. No, I'm just messing. Yeah. But so the exhaust got busted on the car early in the week, and it developed a small hole.
Really?
A weep hole.
From a frost eve.
Well, from rattling around, jumping up and down. Plus, the pipes are rusty. They're old. It was probably
because
the original.
You going over a set of frost heaves is like sitting in a vibrating chair.
Well, if you hit them fast enough, you don't feel two, three, four. Blah, 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 blah. You just hit the first one and you go airborne until you hit the fourth one and you land. So I developed this little seep hole. That's actually about a week and a half ago. And I hate rogue noises out of the exhaust. If on my Harley, it's supposed to be loud, and it's supposed to sound a certain way, and that's the way it sounds. And if it doesn't, something changes. I got to repack the baffles. Wilson is designed to be butt-ass quiet. Now it makes a little bit more noise with the studded snow tires, but that's to be expected.
Yeah.
When it makes this, I hate that noise with a passion, and it's a pet peeve. So I kind of patched it up. Mm-hmm. And drove it until the beginning of last week, the patch actually worked, and I've gotten pretty damn ingenious with soup cans and hose clamps, so I'm making things quiet. Muffler bandages and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And driving along, everything's fine, and all of a sudden you went from the to and I'm, what the hell is that noise? And it opened up a new hole. So I drive around pretty much throughout the week. It was too bloody cold to lay down in the driveway to want to fix it. No way. And I wasn't exactly sure where it was leaking from. Uh-huh. So I called up my good friend Ken, up at Big and Small here in Jaffrey, and I said, can I bring my car in and get some lift time? Because I want to try and work on this thing. And he graciously had the space and time, said, sure thing, bring it on up. Well, what should have been a 40-minute job, and I thought would be, okay, one pipe, the intermediate pipe, which my beautiful bride kindly picked up for me on her way home from work, turned into a 3.5-hour job.
I knew that was going to happen.
Including not just the intermediate pipe, which, let's face it, she drives a little neon. So the pipe that's down the middle of my car is about the length of her entire car.
Yes.
So it barely fit in the back of her, into her car. And then it also, as I was driving up here, I said to myself, what are the odds of probability that my muffler, when I go to take that pipe off, the muffler's just going to go and fall apart? I better be smart about this and buy a muffler. Now, my car is a 1994. It's been around a while. A lot of places don't stock parts for cars that old anymore. And I found one, our local Pep Boys down in Nashua. And I called two others and like, buddy, that thing's so old. That car you're driving is older than I am. And I'm like, okay, so you probably don't have the part. So I picked up a muffler. And again, what I thought was a $35 pipe and maybe 40 minutes to change turned into 3.5 hours. And $125. But it's fixed.
Yeah.
It's quiet. You didn't hear me coming up.
No,
I mean, aside from the rubber on the driveway.
Other than the screeching and the black marks on the snow in the driveway.
Yeah.
I got to admit, yeah, I didn't hear the motor.
Yeah, it worked out really well. Had to make a gasket.
So 94. It's a 94?
Yes, sir.
And this is 2014?
Yes, sir.
So doesn't that make Wilson an antique?
I could register that car at antique if I wanted to.
Yeah, but you can't because you can go over the mileage.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can register cars three ways, cars in this state. Conventional registration like it has, classic, or antique. If it antique's at 30 years old, I believe.
Oh, is it 30 now?
I believe 30 years old for antiques.
It used to be 20.
I could be wrong, but I was pretty sure antique
was
30 and classic was 20.
Okay. Oh, classic was 20. Okay.
I could be. You know what? Yeah. Why don't we go to the Book of Knowledge?
Go to the Book of Knowledge. We got to steal that from No Agenda.
Yes.
So that being
consult
said,
consult the Book of Knowledge.
So I mean, although this one's running a little bit sluggish, so I don't know if it's going to be quick about it. So, yeah, that was the speed of it. So my simple 40-minute job was 3.5 hours, used a cutting torch, grinding wheels, made some extra bolts, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, it's all fixed. But it was a nice way to spend a Saturday with a good friend. Uh-huh. And, there with Ken and then coming up here, which just keeps getting better. So that was that's pretty much the speed of it, and which I think for me is the end of my automotive stories. I did want to ask Michael, how is Sir, and it is now Sir Jeep.
Sir Jeep.
I have promoted it
to Sir Jeep. Did you drive that down to Illinois?
Yeah, I did. I didn't have any choice.
Oh, man.
I won't do it again. Not until I get a new engine.
No, wait a minute. Are you saying that because you plan on not doing it again or because you can't do it again?
The trip's not over yet. The warp engines are definitely disabled. I'm on impulse power only. The dilithium crystals are cracked. And I have not made it home yet. But Wow. I'm down about 6 to 8 miles to the gallon on the fuel economy.
So let me guess, you're driving down there, you're probably in the right lane with the flashers on the entire way?
I got the old orange triangle out off the back bumper. No, not quite. I can do 55. It's really pushing it.
Wow.
But I can do 55, which was okay. You mean, that wasn't a problem until I got near Green Bay. Because, you know, we got just gajillions of feet of snow up by us. Nobody's going that fast.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Once I saw this thing called pavement. And
that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw that this week, too. And then there was this green stuff all over the ground, too. I don't know what it was, but
no.
I don't know. It was interesting to see. Of course, you're probably not going to see that stuff. You're going to go right from white to white. Well, dirty white to white next winter.
thanks.
skip right past summer.
Oh, he'll have summer. Yeah, it's not going to get hot enough to melt everything.
We'll get it down to about 2 feet.
You're going to be calling
it'll start snowing again.
The Great Copper Harbor Glacier.
The Copper Harbor Permafrost.
There'll be a new Great Lake added.
That's just creepy.
It'll cut down on the black flies, though.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that was another thing I read, that all this cold weather we've been having is really hurting and killing off the stink bugs.
Good!
Although I've got like 3 hanging out in the house right
well,
now.
Well, it is ideal situation.
They're wintering it out.
Exactly.
Okay, well, let's back up on the Jeep here. This goes back to...
Can you back up
I'm
in the
studying...
Jeep? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it still backs up. Especially if I'm parked uphill and I take it out of gear.
All right, so
last week I'm studying Fast and Furious for my firefighter, my state firefighter exam, mm-hmm. And I already had a trip scheduled to go out of state for one client, mm-hmm. And then I got a call from another client going, we've got a problem, we just parted ways with our project manager, and we need you to step up in some other projects, and I'm like, oh, great, so I need to be down there like next Friday after my other job. And the only thing I've got to drive is my Jeep. Because I'm not leaving the Jeep for my wife and kids to go back and forth to school every day in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely crossing my fingers on Thursday. But backing up, I practiced for the exam with another fire department on Saturday. So I'm going back and forth again in these incredibly cold temperatures we had last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Just... hoping the Jeep doesn't break down again.
Uh-huh.
I take my exam on Sunday, and I literally have to leave from the exam for the job out of state. And I've basically been going ever since. I did stop and slept in my bed Wednesday night, and then I had to leave first thing Thursday morning again. So I got back Wednesday night in time for the fire meeting. And first fire meeting I've made since, like, early December.
Wow.
Because I've been in class every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, we're going to get to that, but congratulations.
Very much so.
Passing. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't know Wednesday night. Let's see here. Left Thursday morning after going on the first out-of-state trip. Then I had to go down to Wisconsin to my other client, which had just lost a project manager. And that's when I realized that Google Maps does not have a category when you plan a trip for warp-disabled Jeep.
Warp-disabled Jeep! So
it took me a lot longer to get down to my client than I planned. That's about a 390-mile trip from Copper Harbor.
I
called them. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, and I don't know whether you'd be able to do this, but wouldn't you be able to get a rental and have a business expense, write it off as a business expense?
I'm hoping I can do that again. But see, where trips. Things... what's changed is within the last year,
mm-hmm.
rental companies no longer take a debit card for rental cars.
Oh.
You have to have a credit card.
Right.
Are you serious?
No, that's been
I'm
that
serious.
Way for quite a while.
Actually. Well, it's been, yeah, but it's really been in the last year where it's, you can't find any rental cars.
And the other thing, I don't know, they do it still, but the other thing is if you're under the age of 26, they don't rent cars to you.
I don't think any of us have that problem.
No, we don't, but I found that amazing because basically you've been driving for 10 years and they won't let you.
They won't. It's because it's an insurance liability.
Yeah.
You know, if 21-year-old hot rodding in a car that's a rental that they bought the insurance on, they don't care if they crack
it
up.
Right, that's true. Anyway, sorry, Michael.
So, yeah, so that, until I pay down all my school loans and everything, I have cut up all the credit cards. I do have debit cards, but they won't, and they used to rent to me on debit cards. They would put a $200 hold until everything cleared, which is a pain, but they used to rent to me. Now they won't do it anymore, period. And it's not me. It's just they just said flat out, we cannot, any of the national companies will not rent on a debit card. Mm-hmm. Now, I actually do have one credit card, but that's for other purposes. If I was in a real jam, I would use it to rent a car, but that's the absolute last double secret probation thing that I would
double secret probation, like that.
I was going to say, you might think about getting a business credit card or whatever, but you know.
Yeah, it's come up now because I'm traveling so much for my clients. They are all aware of the situation. Well, actually, the one client's driving me back and forth to the other job because they know that there's a good chance that my Jeep's not going to make it one of the ways.
Right.
So they're actually arranging transportation for me.
But even in the time we've known you, you used to basically work out of your house, but now you're on the road quite a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, more than I want to be.
Yeah.
But right now, it kind of comes in stages. When you do a design review, you know how that goes.
Yep.
There's a lot in the beginning, there's a lot in the end. In the middle, you can kind of hang out in your office and get work done.
Yeah, do actual work.
And I'm on that stage with actually three different clients right now. I am crazy busy, which couldn't come at a better time. It's like that just-in-time financing thing where it's like, okay, yeah, I got a lot of catching up to do, but I could use a clone right now, too. So work is good. Work is busy. And in the meantime, I had, you know, without realizing it, I'd signed up a year ago for this firefighter class. But, yes, so I drove down. I called the client, said, well, I'm not going to make it before you close, so just don't worry about it. I'll see you Friday morning. I decided not to push it too hard because I figured if I pushed the Jeep too hard, I'd be broke on the side of the road somewhere. And just got down to my hotel room, got checked into the state website, and woohoo, I passed. So, and then shortly after that, the instructor texted me and said, congratulations, Mike, you passed. Actually, you were valedictorian. Like that matters on a firefighter class. But I do take it seriously.
No doubt.
So I am a happy camper, yes. As a matter of fact, I think that's that Facebook post I put, I think it's got the most response I've done from anything I've ever put up there.
Really?
Getting a lot of replies to that one, yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really
so I'm still on the road. I had a really good meeting with my client on Friday, and since I was relatively close to my mom, I'm not going to get this far south and not come down to see her.
Yeah.
So I'm hanging out this weekend with my mom, which is why I was late for the show. And then Monday I got more engineering meetings, and then finally heading home.
Cool. Get a break from the snow too. Right?
Yeah.
As much
some of the snow.
Some of the snow.
Some of the snow, yes.
Not the complete shorts and sandal break I received this week.
Well, it feels like it down here. Right. It's like 33 degrees down here. It's just incredible.
Balmy.
Yeah. Well, considering it was, you know, when Joel and I did that show last week, it was 22 below when my wife drove the kids to school. This is, you know, this is 55 degrees warmer.
Don't pick your tattoo.
I'm not.
You.
Well, actually, I guess we should just, we got to make sure we're wrapped up with Bottom Gear before we go and comment on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. You still got more.
Do we have any more bottom gear?
Wilson, are we done?
Wilson is taking, yes, we're done with Wilson stuff right now.
All right.
We're done with the Jeep.
Well, as I said, that's yet to be determined.
I was going to say, for this week? All right, so that wraps up our version, our episode of Bottom Gear.
We need a video for this.
Oh, God. All right. So.
And I wasn't picking my tattoo. I was scratching.
You were picking at it. I saw you.
Well, there was just one little
thing. He was enhancing the circulation in the area of the healing.
I love that. I was enhancing getting off that scab. For those who don't know, who've never had tattoos, they scab. Anywhere the needle has hit, it's traumatized the skin.
And there was a lot of traumatization going on.
3 hours worth.
Yeah.
3 hours.
Very good artist, but... Phew, I'd be sitting there going... Ah! Ah! Can they... Yeah, I guess they don't. They can't...
Numb
the area?
They do have a cream that they can put on. It's like an icy hot kind of... Makes the whole area numb. It numbs it up by, like, I guess, heat.
Or do they have somebody just sitting on the other side of you, smacking you in the arm?
Yeah, realistically.
Yeah. Ow!
As I had said to a couple of folks who had asked, does it hurt? I'm like, yeah. And they said, well, what's it like? And I had said, well, when does it, when it hurts? I said, it stops hurting after about the first 10,000 hits with the needles. And they looked and said, what? And I said, because the machine has, you have either a liner or a shader.
Mm-hmm.
Liners, single needle, and it can be different gauge. Shader, three needles. Or in some cases, I think I've seen one that was five with different gauge needles. And when you set the needle in the machine, they go over to the power supply. You turn the power supply up.
Mm-hmm.
And that turns up the voltage, which in turn increases the speed or decreases the speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so... When you hear, you know, when you're watching one of those tattoo TV shows, and I watch a lot of them, and you hear them hit the pedal, and you're that needle's gyrating back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, in some instances, I bet you it's well over. You could probably get, and I'm guessing here, I should really research, but you could get hit with the shader 1,000 hits inside of an inch.
Wow. Ouch.
And it's in the skin, that back and forth. So that being the case, real good artists. Like, and the funny thing is when you hear the machine, when you can hear that the motor loading up on the machine, they're actually going just to the perfect depth. They're not going too deep. And it's placing that ink. Whenever you hear a machine get silent... And you hear, that's because the person getting a tattoo was a jerk, pissed off the tattoo artist, who made the decision that if you turn that voltage up a little bit, it jams into the skin deeper. And that's also been referred to as scratching. So when you hear the machine go and get quiet, that's because it's digging. And the person sitting in the chair on the receiving end is probably making a face, although I know this is a podcast, something to the tune of,
oh, I wish this was video.
So, quite honestly, first rule of thumb, don't be a jerk to the tattoo artist, and be nice, or treat people how you want to be treated, and even if you like to be treated like a jerk, go against the grain and be nice. Because otherwise, they can make you hurt a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Now, a good tattoo artist, obviously, you know, scruples and professionalism won't do that.
Yeah.
But it has been done. I want to say that. Not, you know, I've seen television programs and they said, oh, yeah, I was digging the dude because he was being an ass. And so it's like, after, like I said, after first 10,000 hits, done the right way, Evan, my tattoo artist does and so forth, it hurts. It feels more like a burn. Huh. It truly does. It feels like it's just hot and it burns. You don't necessarily feel... it hurts so much it's numb until you hit the real thin spots. Right here, Michael, I'm pointing to the... Right on the side of your arm, for instance, where it's just skin and bone. There's no meat.
You can see it.
Yes, that yep. Well, I was explaining it for the three listeners.
Okay. For three listeners.
You hit that area. Huh. Oh, wow. Does you go from accepting it, and then it's just very uncomfortable to, holy shit, that hurt. He's like, I got to finish now. All right. And yep. There's a few times when you're getting it done where you say, I've got the line work. The outline's already done. Mm-hmm. Friggin' grinning parrot, we gotta finish this because we're too far to stop now.
Yeah.
My big thing is bring gum. Because I'll
shit. Yep. you will do. And I also noticed that eventually you're gonna have a hairy bird, right?
My raven will need a shave.
I noticed they shaved you. I noticed that, but I'm looking at your other arm, and I said, you're going to have one hell of a hairy bird, Dale.
Right. Well, it's the woolly mammoth of Ray. So, you don't want him to catch a chill. So, but that's just my skin type, so you just learn to look around it. Look through it. I actually said, I said to a friend of mine, I really ought to get a tattoo of Chewbacca. Because it would just fit.
That would be great. Hey, there you go. Maybe on the other arm.
Yeah, exactly. Who's, I guess that's Chewy. And
that's great.
I am totally a Star Wars fanboy, but not quite to that extent.
I think that's great. I think you should seriously consider And you can make those noises when he's at
Chewy, shoot them with the blaster. So, that's that. And and then the best part for all those who were on the bubble, does it hurt the next day?
Mm-hmm.
No BS. In a meaty area, it hurts. In an area where it's not meaty or where there's a nerve cluster, it hurts a lot. I'm not even going to try and remotely powder candy coat it.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot. And what I find, it's not as bad the day you have it done. You're still excited. Your body still launched a ton of endorphins.
Yeah.
So... it's combating the trauma that's in the area that is traumatized. When did I notice it most? A day and a half after, when I'm sitting in a chair and my mind's not busy. I'm like watching the TV.
Yeah. And you look down and your raven's a bald eagle.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, and I feel my arm, and it feels like if you had road rash ever, the worst case of road rash, or... I experienced it when I was a kid. I climbed an oak tree and slid down it wearing shorts.
Ow.
Yes, and I mean I slid far down this tree and it just took all the skin off. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And, I've got four and they all pretty much felt that way.
Wow.
A day and a half later. So it's, then you smear an A&D ointment. I use triple antibiotic ointment on them.
Mm-hmm.
And but literally in 2 weeks it's all healed up. In a week's time, it's 90% healed up, and it doesn't hurt. Now it itches.
I have a similar situation with my cat, Charlie.
Yes, you do. I see. In body modification, I have a tattoo where ink's been applied to the subcutaneous level layer of my skin. You went more for...
the claw.
You have bloodletting. Where the cat has dug... tons of holes all through your forearm.
We actually clipped his nails, but they're getting long again.
With what, hedge clippers?
And when they do get long, the first time he became really friendly with me, and it truly is, we're just sitting there having, and I went to work, and people are going, my God, what happened to your arm? And I said, Cat wrestling.
Cat wrestling. I thought you had an insulin pump. What are you putting your insulin in the top of your forearm for? Because you're bleeding in 900 little holes. Yeah. That's the cat, Charlie.
He likes to. Well, first thing, he walks up. When he wants to wrestle with you, he walks up and he opens his mouth and he just chomps down on your arm.
Your arm.
Now, he doesn't bite hard, but he does have sharp teeth, too. Uh-huh. But he does that, and then he wraps his front paws around around mm-hmm. your arm, yep. and then kind of digs in with his claws.
Well, you don't want to lose traction.
On the forearm, and then it starts gutting the by your elbow right. with his rear claws.
All right. Well, that's I think that's a form of tenderization of meat before yeah. you actually consume it.
Yeah, and then so, and that requires me to grab his head, and you know.
Can you? I can't imagine when you're actually half asleep in the chair in front of the TV.
Yeah.
And he comes up, but what the hell just bit me?
That's what it's about. Well, first of all, he's. He doesn't. He's a long cat,
mm-hmm.
and he's not fat at all. Mm-hmm. He's all muscle.
I'm. You know what? So am I.
Yeah. And but he's an extremely dense cat,
mm-hmm.
and dense in the fact that he looks like a trim, proper cat, but he must weigh 20 pounds.
That's too funny.
Yeah. But anyway. Well, that's cool, and that's neat. Oh, I had one other thing from my trip that I have to talk about. I actually was using Waze for the trip. Well, first of all, my sister and brother-in-law knew how to get down to Orlando, so uh-huh. I was using Waze strictly for all the generated alerts and everything, and by the way, that is a lifesaver. I'm telling
really?
You, especially when you're going through Georgia.
Yeah.
And there's like a cop every mile.
Really?
Yes, on 95.
So it didn't try to take you down to Florida by way of Rhode Island?
No. So, you know, I got to tell you, since Google got them, they're starting to merge the Google. I think they're using Google Maps and maybe some of the Google route calculations mm-hmm. now. I mean, it had excellent navigation, excellent routing, and the plus to that is you're getting all the alerts.
Right.
And my brother-in-law was digging the alerts because, you know, the lady pops up and says, police reported ahead, you know, and we're about 2 miles away, so he could slow down. And you know, you see people blowing away, and then all of a sudden you see blue lights, and he's doing the speed limit, of course, so he wasn't getting caught. And he goes... And he's going, what was the name of that app?
You know? That's right, because in Virginia, you can't run with a radar detector.
No, you can't.
No, because I run with a radar detector yeah. all the time, but like yeah. in Virginia, they can confiscate it yes. on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and mine's $450, so it's not one of them crappy 89 right, Walmart right. dollar ones.
but this was excellent. Not only that, but it would tell you about the slow traffic ahead, and it would tell you about somebody was ahead of us, and they stopped motor vehicle, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they were pinging every stopped motor vehicle, which really wasn't affecting your driving, but it was a nice thing to know that.
So basically, it was somebody who needs a friend.
Yeah, yeah, basically. or I think it's the new. If you're driving with the family in there and you hand your kid the smartphone and say, here,
yeah.
do the Waze reporting.
Timmy has a nervous thumb button.
but it really worked quite nicely. And
cool.
I've changed my mind about Google routing now.
So you were still using Waze, W-A-Z-E.
Yes. And I compared it with Google Maps, which I think is the best one out there.
Yeah.
And they're identical. Yes, I'm still here. I'm still here. That's out. What's it called? Outcast? No. Hangout.
You always say that.
Hangout asking me. I haven't touched the computer, so it's. Are you still there?
No. By the way, you were right. It's 20. I was wrong. You were right.
What?
New Hampshire antique vehicle is defined by any motor vehicle that is at least 25 years old.
Oh, 25. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got another 5 years before Wilson becomes an antique.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, Michael, you got anything else? going?
Well, before we get off the Google Maps concept, I will bring up one of my experiences for this week, because as I was heading towards my client, I was trying a different route to try to speed up my route there. But I'm coming up on this intersection, and I'm turning left, and the nice lady is going, "You want to go straight?" And as I turn left, it's telling me to make a U-turn at the nearest intersection and go back to the direction I was heading in. And I was screaming at it. Of course, she wasn't listening, going, "But the bridge is out. The bridge is still out. The bridge has been out for 6 months, and you're still trying to route me over the bridge that's out."
And this is Google?
This is Google, yes.
Really? I'm
yes.
surprised. Bet you if you use Waze, they'd know about it.
Oh, my God.
Well, next time I go there, I'll check, because I'm sure the bridge will still be out.
Yeah, because, you know, but somebody that survived the fall from the missing bridge put a hazard.
Put the warning out. Yes. That's the only comment I got on that. Yeah, I was pretty impressed. I thought I was taking some normal routes that I've been doing for a long time. I said, "Okay, Google, see if you can find a better route for me." And by God, for the most part, it did, except for trying to take me over a bridge that was out. But the rest of it was pretty good.
I've
been going back. Oh, go ahead.
I find Google Maps, because the other thing that Google Maps does is allow you, they'll show you alternate routes, and you can pick an alternate route, which is,
yep.
I don't see any other GPS app that allows you to do that. And actually, Waze is doing that now, too, probably because they're using the Google app formula, you know what I'm talking about.
Algorithm.
Yes.
Well, you're typing and talking at the same time, so.
Yes.
But yes, algorithm.
But
as I'm watching you fill in the notes as you're talking there.
Well, that's not me. Is somebody filling
in the
notes?
Is Joel doing it?
Oh, my God, it's doing it itself.
Not me.
No, Joel's.
There's two E's and keeps.
I know that. Thank you.
Yes. Well, it's been a vehicle and appliance week, so yeah, we'll dive into that. Just before I had to leave, our dryer. Remember the lightning strike back in Labor Day?
Yeah.
Things have been pieced together, but the fact that they took the front plate off without taking the screws out the first time put some extra wear and tear on it.
Yeah.
And although they replaced everything else, all of a sudden things on the front plate, because of the button, the cover parts of the button are
these the factory trained technicians?
I don't know the training part, but they're factory approved. I don't know if they're trained, but I finally wound up being the one taking things apart the first time and the second time.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they stressed the front plate, some of the specifically the power button snapped off. So the plastic part that goes down and presses the micro switch,
right,
was gone. And after we took it apart and looked at it, and he goes, "Well, we'll still cover this under warranty." I'm like, "Well, good."
So
what do I do
it.
For now? And he goes, "Well, if you snake your finger between those two resistors and that part there, you should be able to push the micro switch."
Right.
So that's what we've been doing since like the beginning of last December. You know, it's a stack washer dryer. And
hopefully,
you're
you won't get electrocuted.
Up into an electric dryer and reaching your fingers into the circuit board to press the micro switch to turn it on.
What's that, whites?
So, yeah. So I called them up last week before I had to leave for all this stuff. I said, we've been trying to reach you for the last couple of weeks." I'm like, "I do have an answering machine. I won't even go there." And I was like, "Do you have the part?" "Yeah, we have the part. I'll come down and get it." "Well, no, this is under warranty. The least we can do is come up and put it on for you." I'm like, "Okay, but I got to leave town. We'll come up on Saturday." "Really? Okay." So they actually did come up. They finally remember after the third time how to take it apart by removing the screws first. It went a whole lot better.
Wow.
So we finally have a dryer.
Good.
We still don't have an oven. Now, Joel, did I talk about this last week?
Yeah, as far as the, you mentioned about how everything else was working good with the gas, but You think because the gas, that regulator valve being right. bad, took out the oven for good?
Well, I did manage to call the certified repairman for that. Okay, Barry.
Oh, fuck.
Crunch, 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 rattle, 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 crunch, crunch, crunch.
I like
crunch.
The two eyes.
You know what? That reminds me of when someone was walking in the snow, pretty much from Copper Harbor all the way down to Calumet by way of Saskatchewan.
Yes, yes. No, that was just to my garage. Let's not exaggerate. Well, maybe by way of Saskatchewan is correct, but anyhow.
I didn't know I was doing that into the microphone.
So I located the local serviceman. Local is a relative term that handles my convection oven.
Right.
I call him up and I said, "Hey, I'm so and so in Copper Harbor," and there's this pause on the other end of the phone. He goes, "I don't go to Copper Harbor in the winter."
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, it's exactly what he said. He said, "I won't come to Copper Harbor in the winter.
I don't care how bad you want to make lasagna."
Yeah, like, okay, well, let's see here. My options are to discuss this with you or bring it down, Dave. So I told him what was going on. He goes, "Well, geez, I haven't. Don't think I've ever seen that before. But since you had it, oh, what did we lose here?
Did he lose?
We lost Joel.
We lost Joel.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Are you still there, Joel?
It's dark in here. Help me!
Come back, Joel. Move toward the light!
I can't find the handle.
Toward the light!
And boom! Who put this friggin' dryer in the way? It's dark in here!
Reach between the two resistors and push the button.
Holy crap.
So, anyhow, I talked to this guy, and I said, "Well, you know, we had a bad regulator in the house, and we had all these appliance problems." He goes, "Well, yeah, it's quite possible. It took out your safety valve and your pressure regulator." I'm like, "Okay, so do I just buy a new oven or do I try to fix this?" "No, I think you could probably get by changing the regulator and the safety valve." Well, I look them up. I went to a parts appliance depot or surplus warehouse, Pep Boys, whatever, parts online.
I need dryer parts and a catalytic converter.
Discount Tires parts place, and the best price I can find on a regulator and safety valve combined is about $300 for this oven. I can buy a new oven for under $500. Not like this, but I can buy a new oven for under $500.
Right.
So the question is, do I chance the $300 and save my $1,200 oven that I have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Or, I mean, if they can guarantee me the $300 will fix it, because it's a convection oven. I can't replace that for $500.
And by the way, we're not coming out to fix it until July. Yes.
Yeah, well,
when you really want to bake a turkey.
I'll pick it up and haul it to his shop. But if they can't guarantee me that changing these two parts will fix the problem, I probably will spend $500 on a new one. I won't throw this one out. I'll put it in the garage and take it down. Or have him come up in July. Yeah, August. The bad sledding month. I have him come up in August. But I've also been without an oven since December 1st, and this is really getting old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like cooking with a wok as much as the other guy, but mm-hmm. probably more, fortunately. But I really would like my oven back.
Right, right. Bake it. Try to make a frozen pizza. on an open campfire, the crust gets burned.
Trying to get a campfire going right now is a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Two words: Dutch oven. Well, you gotta start a fire, of course, and get the
well.
Coals.
Yeah, and then I have to dig a hole down to the ground, dig a hole to it. So otherwise, it's just gonna melt through the snow.
And there is 20 feet of tundra. He has to try and get through to get down to soil.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have a charcoal umbrella out there.
Soil
somewhere.
That's frozen solid.
Yeah, I have a charcoal grill out there. Grill out there somewhere. I don't know where.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's buried.
I used to have one.
Under there somewhere.
Currently, yep, it's under exactly 2 metric tons of snow, and it's probably flat.
Yeah.
Now it's a smoky Joe.
Yes. For 6 months out of the year, Michael lives in a one-story house.
Yes. So all the snow melts down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, jeez.
You guys haven't had any snow recently, have you?
Yeah, we have, actually.
Really?
It just keeps coming.
But not an 8-day blizzard like the last.
No, not like last week. No, holy cow. Yeah, no, we got a little bit. It just, once the snow stopped, then it got cold again.
And when you say it got cold again, that means minus 25? Or 'cause you were considering zero warm.
Yeah, and that was minus 22. It was about 15, minus 15 to minus 22.
Yeah, I was telling Joel, and you know, we're not getting temperatures like you are, but yesterday I got in the car and I was driving off to work and I looked down and of course my outdoor temperature in the car said it was minus 2, which I know that's nothing for you, but in the past years I would see minus 2 and go, wow, it's really cold here. I looked at it and went, oh. You know, it's just no big deal anymore that it's minus 2.
Oh, it's balmy out.
Yeah. So.
Well, this other job I did this week was in another state, and it was 18 degrees.
Wow.
When I checked the temperature, and I looked, I had like a 4-block walk from my room to the coffee shop. Hmm. I didn't even bother putting on a flannel shirt. I was just like, oh, okay.
But you didn't sandals and Bermuda shorts.
Well, I didn't have any. Otherwise, I would have. But I the thing is, with this city I was in, I wasn't the only one. We're walking around in shirt sleeves. Like, wow. Hey, this is cool.
It's amazing how you get used to things. But I got to tell you.
Well, I'm not a big coat person anyhow. Yeah. Unless I know I'm going to be in the backwoods for a long time. Mm-hmm. As I've told you before, I don't even generally put a coat on for ambulance calls. Even when I'm going back out to get somebody on a snowmobile.
Jeez. I'm telling you, this year especially, and we've gotten our share of snow. Nothing compared to you, but nothing compared to what we've gotten in past years. But I have never looked forward to spring so much this year. I mean, I can't wait for this.
We're ready.
Stuff to get
we
out.
Are so ready.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember telling us the story of being out on the boat? I remember you saying, oh, yeah, well, I was out on the boat with the family and this and that. And my boat is this. And that would be an indicator that the weather was warm enough that, one, the water was fluid, not a solid.
Yes, I wasn't pushing it across the ice,
Yeah, this year when
let me get out and push.
This year when they come to put the bell buoy in, they're just going to come out and
thud.
Thud on top of the ice. And it's just going to sit there. And if the wind blows, it's going to go bong.
Don't
fall over.
Someday we will have warm weather and actually nice weather again.
You know, in a few months, we're going to be bitching about how hot it is.
No, we won't, because there's air conditioning.
Well, not me. Not in a few months yet.
Yeah,
got a ways to go.
Well, at least I won't be push mowing in 100-degree weather.
I was,
knock on wood.
Exactly. Hey, Barry, what's going on? What the hell's the matter with you? I just finished the grass. It's 102 degrees out. Well, I had to do the back 2 acres. You didn't want to push lawn boy. Are you out of your mind? the grass was getting out of control. Who the hell cares? It's in the back of the yard. It's 102. It'll wait. Yeah, maybe I should have rethought that.
Lost a lot of weight that month.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And it's hard to believe, I remember when I first got Wilson.
Yes.
Sitting in traffic.
And you were complaining because you didn't have air conditioning.
Because the air conditioning, I finally found out why it didn't have air conditioning, and I'm thinking, holy God, is it hot in this car.
Yeah.
Now I haven't said that in a long time.
Michael's just...
I don't know.
He held something up to the camera and then he looked at it puzzled. What the hell is that?
What the hell is that?
I pulled. Okay, go ahead.
What the hell is that?
Thanks, Steve.
I pulled a Kleenex out of the box and this is
what came out. That's the way it came out. That is the skinniest Kleenex I've ever seen. I thought maybe it was, you know, wrapped up.
Okay.
Oh, okay. There
no,
you go.
It, just,
it looked like it looked like, you know, the wooden chopsticks.
Well, I'm trying to get over there yonder way, and maybe I'll log back in, you know, just for the end of the show.
Oh, God. We got to start calling the show because I'm not sure how long it is, but I'm going on 3 hours here. I don't think it's that long because, well, we had the 5 minute. We missed 5 minutes.
So 2 hour and 55 minutes.
And let me tell you, it was probably the best 5 minutes of the show.
The way it always goes.
Yeah, it does.
I can save the other subject for later.
And at least, Michael, last week you proved that the... And I don't even remember... Oh, there goes Joel.
Hey. No, Joel's back. Hey!
I don't even remember... I'll have to go look up... The instructions again, because I do a different setup here with multiple machines.
Is your special?
Yeah.
No, thanks for sending that, because that worked.
Yeah, I
wound up with a little... When I switched mics, I didn't realize that I was over-modulating a little bit on my side. Sorry about that, but it worked really well.
It did.
Sounded okay. Now, I haven't listened to the whole thing. So
I have.
I listened to the pre-show, which you have a 6 minute pre-show because I couldn't cut it out. I did.
And where am I going to put the intro in? Damn it, guys, shut up for a second.
I did take the gaps of no sound out, the silence. I did edit those out, and you actually, for the first time I think we've ever had a post show, because you guys had a post show. I said,
yep.
Oh, I got to leave that in too.
That was good. Yeah.
I haven't heard.
I listened to the whole thing.
Well, I just put it out last night about 1 a.m. So,
I was up.
I was
yes.
up.
So that, I'm glad you guys did that. Yeah, so this was 131. And by the way, we're coming up on 4th anniversary next month. Can you believe that? Seems like we just didn't celebrate the 3rd anniversary,
it did.
Didn't it?
It did, actually.
Yeah, 4th anniversary.
We're almost old enough to go to preschool.
So,
that's something.
Are we podcast trained yet?
And I think we've maybe missed 2 this year.
Yeah, we're pretty vigilant about it.
We've been, I think we only missed 2 shows or 2 weeks this year.
Yeah.
So, it's fun.
It's a blast. It really is.
And I'm glad we changed to Saturday night.
I think it's so much easier.
Not that anybody else knows that we do this Saturday night.
All the 3 of you listening.
And the fact that they get it like the Friday before the next Saturday night. But and I'm still mad with Jimmy Fallon
for
ripping off our logo.
I see.
For the new Tonight Show, and they even have the same frickin' mugs we have.
Coffee cups, yeah.
The coffee cups, except for they went with the black ones. And I think you could go up on Cafe Press and order black late night QRM mugs if you want.
I may have to do that.
Yeah.
I have to do that.
Right after my shirt's getting... But it looks classic, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
With all the cracks.
It is a retro.
it looks like a retro late night QRM.
Because we've been around... That logo's been around longer than his.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it is retro.
I mean, we're talking potential. We could, but we're being nice. Yeah, you can use the moon, too. And you can use a similar...
We're going to copyright the moon.
A similar... pattern on top of the moon like we did.
Is his font the
but
same?
I'm just... No, the font's not the same. They went with the flat look. Mm-hmm. We kind of went with the 3D effect. Mm-hmm. And but if you look at the... I'll have to post... You know what? I'm going to post that on the website. Because I made a picture of the two logos.
Yes, I remember seeing that.
Yes, and they're darn close.
Wonder if one of his producers listens to our show.
Nah.
Nah.
So, I don't know. So, of course, they'll yell at us because, well, you're using late night. And it's like, well, you use late night, N-I-G-H-T,
mm-hmm.
for your NBC show. Yep. We use late night, N-I-T-E.
We were here first.
And it's late night QRM. It's not just late night.
Right.
So, anyway.
So, nina, nina, nina.
Yeah. We were here first. All right, what do we do? Well, we finish the show.
Thank the troops. We finish the show. We thank.
Oh well, first we say we do have a musical guest, yes, and it's not Insert Here. I mean, that group that group does a lot of great songs. Let me tell you, Insert.
Yeah.
Here. Insert band here.
There's a lot of cover artists for that group.
Now this week we've got another guest that's coming back for a second show. It's a Frozen Ocean Wave,
mm-hmm.
and there's
it's not Mark Blevis. Okay, he's still in the green room. Oh, never mind.
Yes, I caught that too.
And their song Sealed, and we'll hear that. But first, we have to thank all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS. Thank you for what
absolutely.
You do. And you get paid very little for everything we ask you to do.
Absolutely.
And it seems to be getting worse. Congress. Let's treat our vets right. Let's treat our active duty members right. Give them the pay they deserve. Give them the things that they deserve. After all, they're putting their lives on the line for us. So remember that. So thank you, and especially you guys that are OCONUS. We hope you get back to your families and friends as soon as possible. But until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry.
And also from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And just a few miles down the road from the headquarters of Otherworld Computing, and the land of Groundhog Day, this is Michael, the virtual Uper.
And we'll see you next week for show number 132. But first, here's Frozen Ocean Wave. And we're out.
Is it still recording?
Yeah, yes. Of course.
He likes the idea of post-show.
Samson, speak. Good boy.